Alrighty, Joel Radio. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome. Welcome, welcome to your favorite podcast of Joel Radio. I don't infer that it's anyone in this room's favorite podcast, but maybe somebody listening would say, Debbie, you're all shaking your heads, but how dare you? Stroll Radio, we got a great show for you today.
Have you heard that cereal? That's a good podcast.
That's the big podcast cereal?
How do you know it's a great show until you've heard it?
Well, I know what we're going to talk about, and they're good topics. That's a
topic,
good point.
No, right?
No, Joel has seen into the future.
Okay.
Well, what if I, you know, some people, I believe, do their show, and then they tape, like, the intro later, and they go, and we talked about this, that, and this.
Right.
And they can really billboard everything that they talked about, but we can't do that. Because we're actually, I'm actually going, well, I have an agenda. We're going to stick to that.
And you're actually doing a podcast. You're podcasting.
It's podcasting. I have an agenda. It's going to be good, though. Joel Radio, Corey Hall joining me.
Now that's podcasting.
There
Wizard.
It is.
Wizard.
And John Tenney returning.
Hey.
The great John Tenney. I don't know, has it been...
It's been a year, I'm sure.
I was going to say, it's been
it's
at least a year.
Clapping.
Yeah. John Tenney.
It's
I was
been
like
that long?
It's always about a year.
Your show debuted, and then I think we maybe never saw you again after that.
No, I think...
did you come on?
I did one more. I think it's been 6 months.
Okay, well, whatever it's been. It's been too long. So it's good to have John back. John, of course, paranormal investigator, star of Ghost Hunters on Destination America, and you can see him on the paranormal conference circuit.
Yeah. Whatever. Paranormal Lockdown. I was just did a guest appearance on
Paranormal
the show.
Lockdown.
Paranormal Lockdown.
That's tremendous.
John also has his other, your own podcast as well that you can find on the Tenco Network.
Oh my God. I put them all under, I figured out how to finally do the podcasts.
Okay.
Because I start them and stop them all the time.
Yeah.
Because I lose interest.
You do short.
Top tennies. Let's
$4
show.
Talk and talk show.
That was like one episode.
Two episodes from that.
The Oddest?
The Oddest is separate. Because the Oddest was 3 years of shows.
Okay. But is that on hiatus or is that active?
The Oddest is always maybe returning.
It's okay. It's
perpetual
always.
Hiatus. Yes.
Right.
But I've been on The Oddest.
But I took all the other shows and I put them under, I call them now Tenco Presents.
Okay.
So they're all found on iTunes under that.
So it's one RSS feed
yes.
for every show. Okay,
yes.
That's fine.
Except for my newest podcast.
Which is
called Real Lost.
Real Lost.
Yeah. So over the past 25 years, I've collected reel-to-reel tapes.
Okay.
And I've never listened to them.
Oh, all right.
So now I'm listening to them and turning them into a podcast.
And what's on those tapes?
The first two episodes were a 1950s psychic channeling session between a husband and a wife.
All right.
The third episode is, I think, L. Ron Hubbard talking about Dianetics in 1952.
All right. So
ooh.
There's a whole bunch of weird stuff on these tapes.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's at reallost.com.
Real
R-E-E-L.
And then there's Realm of the Weird.
Realm of the Weird.
Your stories from your decades
paranormal stories.
Research.
Okay.
I'm all over the place.
Well, that's good. Well, we'll look forward to those. People
you keep
can go
tickling
get
my ass with a feather with a new show.
Oh, don't talk
do.
About that. Don't blow
know,
that one.
Just,
that's still coming.
Right.
There's new shows coming.
All we right. recorded Top Tennies in the Joel Radio Studio.
We did. That was the first episode of
Top
Tennies.
First Top Tennies.
People love Top Tennies.
Yeah, that should come back.
I had Corey's wife on.
Yeah.
Sure you did. Not me, but my wife.
You've never,
right.
You were never on Top Tennies?
No, he wasn't.
It didn't last long enough.
The show was canceled
that
before
show
Corey.
That show couldn't have lasted long enough to have
no,
Corey on.
No, no. Okay. All right. Well, let's get into, in addition. Well, John, let's just talk about you because what you've been up to in addition to all these shows. I know
Jesus.
You've got personal things. You've got work things.
Let me,
tell
let
us
me,
what's
let,
happened.
Let's just, let me just talk about this for a second.
Yeah.
We're all getting older, right?
Yeah, well, you guys are, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, you might not be getting older, but you're looking it.
Oh, watch.
Hey, now.
But anyway.
Okay.
What is going on with parents? Like,
parents?
I am not in any way, shape, or form ready to deal with what I am dealing with.
Yeah.
So, 1 month ago, my father, who's 74 years old, decides to shovel snow up north at his home 4 hours away from my house.
Okay.
And slips and falls and breaks his hip.
Ugh. That's tough.
Now, he's my mother's primary caregiver.
Yeah.
So he has to be ambulanced down to Royal Oak where they can do a hip surgery.
Ugh.
My mom comes down to stay with me so I can take care of her.
Yeah.
While he's here, 3 days after he breaks his hip, my cat dies.
Oh. What is your mother's ailment that requires
She has
care?
Lymphedema.
Okay.
So which is where your legs swell up really big and you can't move.
Okay.
So 4 days after my cat dies, Hey, what are you doing? Stop.
No, go ahead. The Corey's cord is on top of your cord.
4 days after my cat
it's
dies.
His power cord.
Corey, are you paying attention to this? Or are you looking
I'm
at
listening.
Dinner?
Maybe I'll let it this up.
Listen, this is tragedy
here. Tragedy. Go,
tragedy
go, 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 go,
before
go.
Comedy. My mom is getting out of bed, cuts her leg open on the bed frame.
Oh.
30 stitches on the back of her leg.
Ay, ay, ay.
Then my sister, who comes to take care of my mother while I go and do a convention, steps off my back porch and breaks her foot.
Was that while you were in Seattle?
Yes.
Yeah.
What is going on in
and
this
wasn't,
world?
Wasn't your garage firebombed at some point as well?
My garage and my car were firebombed.
I have seen the ruins.
At the end of November. What is happening?
You had an arsonist in your neighborhood.
Yeah,
or something.
They burned.
It was on the news.
Nine cars were set on fire in my neighborhood.
God.
Mine being one of them, which set my garage on fire.
Well,
I was like, okay, that's 2015. I'm like, 2016? We're ready to go. Dad breaks his hip. Mom cuts her leg open. My cat dies. My sister breaks her foot. What's going on?
Maybe you have to leave the spirits alone. Yeah. Maybe that's what it is, John.
There's a lot of celebrity ghosts for you to talk to now.
There is that.
There are a lot of people died.
Patty Duke just died.
Oh.
Patty Duke just died, yeah.
One of my first crushes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The identical cousins.
She was actually attractive.
When
through the 80s
young.
And stuff, even. She was in, like, TV movies. And
yeah,
like,
I think
oh,
she was all right. She held
she's
up
okay.
all well.
She had a sitcom on ABC sometime in, like, the mid-80s.
Yeah.
Where she was the first female president.
Okay.
What was that called? It was, like, your Mrs. President or
I have no idea.
Lady
you're going deep on this.
If you only had a magical box in front
I
of
know,
you, Corey,
if only
where
I
you
had
could
a,
glean all this information.
The whole internet in
yeah.
front of you.
Okay, but...
So wait, who has family problems like this? Are you guys
going
through
this
too?
Well, my father just turned 71.
Yeah.
He has early stages of Alzheimer's.
Okay.
He has almost no short-term memory anymore.
Yeah.
And so that's...
This is happening very, with... That's happening with my mother, too.
Yeah, that's very distressing.
Yeah.
Because he no longer can, like, read a book.
Okay.
I mean, he can still read. It's not
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he can't remember the beginning of the book by the time he gets to the
right,
end.
Right, right.
So for him, he can't enjoy. He used to read every book. You know, when I was a kid, my dad read every book at the Macomb County Library about, like, history or the
right.
Civil War or something.
Yeah.
Like, he was a voracious reader.
It's very strange.
And he can't read anymore.
Like I said, it's very strange because that's happening with my mother.
Yeah.
So there's these weird things where she'll do things like crossword puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't require that you retain what happened earlier.
Yeah.
You know, you can do it at the moment, and then it's done.
I try to get my dad to do activities, and he doesn't want to do them.
It's,
he just wants to...
It's a struggle.
Yeah, and Corey's had family issues.
My dad had a stroke about 10 years ago, and he's had a variety of, a host of, heart problems, and then he's got a bad knee, and they keep wanting to do surgery on the knee, but he can't lose weight because he can't get up and walk around because he's, it hurts too much.
This is the problem.
And then he's got polyps. So they put him on blood thinners, and they're like, well, we can't operate on the knee until we get rid of the polyps, and you can't get rid of the polyps, because
this
he's
is,
on the blood thinners.
No,
so
this is
like,
exactly what's happening with my mom. My mom has lymphedema, so her legs are swollen up. So they need to replace her knees so that she can walk around, but she can't walk around because of the lymphedema, but she had a heart attack in August, so they got her on blood thinners.
Yeah.
So when she was staying at my house and cut her leg open, I walked into that room. Listen, as a paranormal investigator, I've seen some weird shit, right? Mm-hmm. When a person on blood thinners cuts the back of their leg open.
It happened to my grandmother. They bleed everywhere.
It is a fucking crime scene immediately.
Is. My grandmother had a leg erupt in her when she was in her 80s.
Insane.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Oh, good times.
Yeah, it's great.
And then my mom is like... my mom has always been crazy, but she's taking care of him. I don't really trust her to drive anymore. She's always like arguing with the doctors over what medicine they're putting him on and adjusting his dosages. And they just put him on warfarin, which is a blood thinner.
Yeah.
And
my mom's
she's like,
that.
It's rat poison. And my mom,
of course,
my mom's all into homeopathic medicine and essential oils. And then another old friend of mine was like, oh, I'm doing essential oils. So I said to my mom, I have a friend who's doing essential oils. You want to go? And she's doing a thing at the Berkeley Library, and she's like, well, that's the other oil company.
That's the
like,
poison oil company.
Yes, there's one that, like, well, that's Ademco,
that's,
and I'm from Eden Green or whatever.
That's the
and
bad like, make-believe
right,
cure
right.
company.
Like,
yeah.
It's like in Twister where there were bad meteorologists.
Yeah.
There's like the evil essential oils company that's in it to just corrupt, and you're like, oh,
now,
God.
I will tell you this. My dad got a lot of play out of breaking his hip. Because first of all, since my mom is homebound,
just flying out.
Since my mom is homebound and can't leave their house, When he slipped and fell outside of their house, he laid in the snow outside of their house for 3 hours. He crawled. He had to crawl to the truck with a broken hip, get an ice scraper inside, and honk the horn until my mother heard it and called the sheriff, which took 20 minutes for the sheriff to get to him. So my dad, for the entire time he's in the nursing home, is telling the nurses he lived a modern-day version of The Revenant.
Oh, well, oh my God. He was in his driveway, though, the whole time.
Yeah. He's 20 feet away from his house and his wife.
Well, it's you know. Look, if it was...
3 hours in the
I'm not going
snow.
To criticize your father's struggle. I mean, it's, you know.
But, what you got going on there? Text?
No, I'm trying to find something for later in the show. But anyway.
All right, there you go. There's Tenny's woes. I had to get it out.
No, yeah, that's good.
It's a mess. It's a hot mess. You're right. Our parents are old and falling apart. And
it'll soon be us.
Yeah, any Could minute be. Now.
Right? That's why Joel's doing these podcasts, so we can remember him, and we can't remember anything anymore.
Well, yeah, I'll have
the problem
hundreds
is,
and hundreds of hours of me talking about nonsense.
Right, and the problem
for,
is...
For me to listen to...
The problem is this podcast...
Hold on. This is your legacy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I understand.
And you know, when you start to get some kind of early stage Alzheimer's, mm-hmm. these shows are so fucking long that once you start listening to them, by the time you get to the end, you won't remember what it was when it started.
Maybe I should get my dad listening to this podcast.
Sure, why not?
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know.
I wish we'd queued up some Carrie Nations.
Carrie
from Valley of the Dolls with Patty Duke.
I don't have that.
There you go.
I don't have that. But speaking of people who died, why don't I just... Because this is what I was finding.
All right.
But,
I
really can't. Well, this is...
To pick up a package, I think it's a...
Let's listen to a little Gary Shandling.
My book club, and...
This is supposed That's to be right, his theme song, which so is very memorable. But Gary Shandling, one of the all-time great comedians, one of the comics. I mean,
you can read about it too.
Not a guy who was super famous, and people now, if you're a young person, you probably never saw Gary Shandling.
He was very prominent in the 80s,
in
and
the
early
80s
90s.
And early 90s.
Yeah.
There's the theme to Gary's show.
Gary called me up and asked if I would write his theme song. I'm almost halfway finished. How do you like it so far? How do you like the theme to Gary's show?
He's getting a big laugh holding up Merv Griffin's book.
The music that you hear as you watch the credits. We're almost to the part of where I start to whistle. Then we'll watch his Gary Shandling show.
I actually found the end credits to Gary.
Oh, wow.
This was the theme to Gary Shandling show.
This was,
This is,
There you go, a little
so
Gary
So this show, the Gary Shandling, It's Gary Shandling Show, which was on Showtime and then on Fox,
mm-hmm.
Was really, was it started 86 or so?
Probably, yeah.
And was really, like, way ahead of its time in terms of being inside and meta. And he was constantly referencing that he was on a show.
Breaking the fourth wall and all that stuff.
He was constantly talking to the audience.
Yeah. Before that, let me just say, for me, Gary Shandling is one of those people that's associated with being a little kid. Because I can remember laying in my bed and my parents watching The Tonight Show and hearing specifically Gary Shandling's voice.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he was the guest host at one point. What happened with that is the history of the guest host was when Joan Rivers was the permanent guest host. When she left to do the Fox gig, they said, we need to lock up some guys to be the guest host so they can't bail for something else. So they hired Leno and Gary to be the rotating guest hosts. And then, you know, Gary got bored with it and went off to do his show, which essentially left Leno the show, which as much as people say, you know, Leno won the Tonight Show over Letterman and stuff. He was basically handed. He was promised the show.
Right.
So he wouldn't dart and do his own show.
Exactly.
And but Gary was much better than Leno at the show. I mean, if you remember those
from
back in the day, Gary was a great host. Really funny with the guests. Great monologue.
But that's why the Gary Shandling show is so good. And like Corey was saying, so kind of ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Like doing something that nobody was really thinking about.
His car was a golf cart, and he would get in. He'd be like, "I'm going to go over to my friend's house," and he'd get in the golf cart, and they'd like move. They'd move the backdrop behind him, and he'd drive in the.
I always thought that Seinfeld was a little bit of a bite from It's Gary Shandling show. In some ways, you know, he just kind of had the goofy group of guys. And who was the fat guy that was on Gary Shandling? He was very much like Jason Alexander.
Sure. He was,
you know, he was, I forget
he was
the
like the poor man's Stuart Patinkin.
Yeah, he was, but yeah, wow. he was, yeah. But yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what he was like. But I always felt that Seinfeld was trying to do a little bit of Gary Shandling.
It's Gary Shandling's show was a very much just like a show about Gary's life.
Yeah.
And he had, like, it was a regular sitcom, mm-hmm. but in it, he was always addressing the audience.
But he was a comedian on that sitcom,
yes.
right?
But yeah, is Shandling, do we know, I'm sure you guys do in your audience, I'm sure, being the comedic historians that they are, like, did Shandling and Larry David, were they contemporaries?
They would have been, sure. I mean, Shandling might have been a little bit ahead of
Shandling
them.
Was from Tucson, Arizona, and then went to L.A., and then Larry was more of a New York guy.
But they would have. They would have.
I'm sure they knew each other.
They would have both been touring. I mean, you know, Shandling did the clubs. I mean, Shandling did Comedy Castle here in Detroit back in the late 70s, early 80s, and Seinfeld was on that same circuit.
Yeah,
so.
Curb Your Enthusiasm does definitely have
right?
some of the pair. And then certainly then the Larry Sanders show.
Yeah, Larry Sanders Absolutely. Is right. really the. I mean, because I. Okay, tell me this. Was there a single camera, no laugh track sitcom before Larry Sanders? I'm trying to remember if there was.
MASH.
MASH, yeah.
But MASH had
MASH
a laugh
had a laugh track.
Yeah. Sometimes they would drop the laugh track when
did Dream
creative.
On have a laugh track?
I don't it just had titties. That's
I know,
I really
Dream On
that's
all
Dream
you remember
on.
Dream
hey.
On.
Hey.
Right? No, I believe
that,
I believe
that show was just about the gratuitous.
Which was also an HBO show,
yeah, right.
you know, which preceded it. But yeah, it was great that, you know, you had the single camera. And it was that kind of cringe humor, the same kind of thing that you would get
yeah,
from,
awkward
you know,
comedy.
Yeah, sort of, you know, people, you know, a lot of passive aggression and you know, conflict and people acting weird. And, you know, it was very much
He would do things like parallel the real stories.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely. Yeah.
He had a whole plot line about how Jon Stewart was his guest host.
Yeah.
And the network liked him better.
Sure, yeah.
And so, you know, yeah. it just paralleled
were,
all the stuff.
They were all stories basically from behind the scenes of The Tonight Show.
Right. Yeah.
And they were all brought to life in his fictional
but
setting.
When he would, the fake talk show segments in the show,
yeah.
he was a good talk show host.
Absolutely.
Right. You're like, he would have, you realize he would have been great on The
yeah.
Tonight Show.
It was quite a show. And I think Gary kind of was a guy who didn't really love the business, I don't think. I think he made enough money where he could sit at home. He did shows. He would tour. I think he did Vegas, and he would do, you know, touring shows, theaters and stuff. When I was in Toronto, this would have been in 2010, the Toronto Comedy Fest just happened to be going on. I was there on vacation with my girlfriend, coincidentally, and I looked at what Toronto Comedy Fest shows were happening, and Seinfeld was playing in a theater, and it was about $250 to go. And I said, I'm not going to pay $250 to see Shandling. Should have. Probably should have.
Right.
I was spending a lot on that vacation, so don't, you know. But yeah, so he definitely did shows, you know.
But
he was around.
I feel like Shandling, like you're saying, I feel like he's one of those guys who was fine with who he was and
yeah.
what was going on.
Yeah, he didn't
and
have
didn't,
a giant ego.
I don't need to do a stadium bid. Like, I don't need to do any of that stuff. Like, I'm fine with who I am. I know that, I mean, he had to have known how influential he was.
Yeah.
And that probably was good enough for him.
I think so. You know, I
don't know if he was fine with who he seemed to be the weird example of a guy that was spontaneous and witty and funny as a talk show host, mm-hmm. but uncomfortable in his own
yeah he that
self.
Was but that was his stand-up too, was about his trouble with women, and he felt uncomfortable
yeah
and he didn't like the way he looked, and it was, you know, all the how's my hair, that was a big line.
I think he was confident. I think
that was a big line.
That was a
big line from his act.
I think he was
hair.
Confident in his talent and didn't want to put up with a lot of shit,
yeah
right,
but was ambivalent about all kinds of aspects of show business, like really smart people are.
One of the very few people to ever be named in a song by a band that I was in.
Really? You guys yeah. wrote a song that had Gary
Well,
Shandling?
We had to mention Gary Shandling because we were looking for a rhyme with the word paneling.
Okay.
So,
well, that's good, yeah. I guess. So
sitting at home watching Gary Shandling, took a look at my warped paneling.
Really?
Yeah.
This band never made it.
Yeah.
hey, that band sold thousands of records.
Okay, great. So yeah, Gary, very sad to see Gary Shandling go. I mean, I think anyone that's my, again, if you're new, if you're younger,
You probably,
because, I mean, it's Gary Shandling's show went off the air about 15 years ago or something. Or, I'm sorry, Larry Sanders went off about 15 years ago. The guy was, I mean, he would be a guest on things. You'd see him from time to time. He was in some of the Marvel movies. You might know him as a senator from those.
It's that weird, I talked to a 17-year-old at a convention, and yeah. I made some joke, and I don't remember what joke it was, but it was a Shelley Berman reference from a record that I had listened to. And I said, it's an old comedian, Shelley Berman. And this 16-year-old said, is he dead? And I said, oh, I think Shelley Berman's dead. I'm not sure about that, but I probably. And she goes, all the old comedians are dead. Mitch Hedberg's dead. And then I stopped and I was like, yeah. Oh, they're not even getting, getting into the mid 90s.
Oddly enough,
Shelley
Berman is alive.
Is he alive?
And he's still bitter. He did.
Is he still alive?
Oh yeah, he's still alive.
Oh,
he did.
God, what is he, a 90?
Yeah, he should be doing Gilbert Gottfried's podcast any minute now because they get all the old comedians.
Right?
They always talk about.
I was
like,
sure he was dead.
They were talking about Jack Carter, who was an old vaudeville-y, like real Borscht Belt kind of comic.
Yeah,
but just the angriest, bitterest guy.
I have
and they were like he was 90, and they said. We had a phone call for Jack. We had a number for Jack Carter, and we're like, use it. We need him on by Sunday.
Now.
Of course, he passed away. But Shelley Berman's still alive, still mad at Bob Newhart
for doing the phone bit.
Yeah. And still mad at Elaine May for leaving with Mike Nichols to form their group because they were together in Chicago.
My comedy record collection has exploded this year.
What did you pick up?
I've just been buying everything and anything that I can find.
Well, vinyl's gotten so popular now that I'm sure.
Because I probably had 30 or 40 comedy records before this year, and for some reason now they just seem to be everywhere when I travel.
Right.
So I buy them and
there's a copy of Vaughn Meter's The First Family in any...
Absolutely.
Sells vinyl.
Yeah. But I'm more interested. I do. But I'm more interested in, like, I have a couple copies of Marv Welsh's albums.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So I like when I go into a city and I find an LP.
The local stuff?
And it was a local comedian who in the 60s out 500 copies of a record.
You can get, the radio stations will have those too. The best of the local morning.
Next time you go to Cleveland, look for Ernie Anderson. Who was Goulardi? Who was one of the original horror movie hosts, and the ghoul ripped him off for the last 40 years. And Tim Conway were a comedy team in Cleveland.
I'd like to hear.
Mid-60s, and their bits are they're kind of in that style.
Ernie Anderson has the best blooper reel on YouTube.
Yeah.
If you listen to when he was the voice of America's Funniest Home Videos, tonight on America's Funniest Home Video, fuck this garbage. Like, and it's just 10 to 12 minutes of Ernie Anderson tearing down ABC shows.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm doing a post on Facebook for a future topic.
Oh.
Because I saw you putting something up, and I'm like, I should put up. I'm trying to get
Corey, you posted something?
I just posted a clip, the link to that. Gary Shandling did the 25th anniversary special. Which was the fake 25th anniversary for his talk show.
Yeah.
When it was like in this, Carson used to do
that. Really funny. Yeah, I saw that.
They would, like, Carson would put, it would be the every 10 years or 5 years, they'd put on a tux and go.
Yeah.
And then they would just show clips. And it would be always with the tomahawk.
Yeah.
With Ed Ames.
Sure, yeah.
And the, where the, he,
well, there'd be some animal peeing on the desk.
He and Rickles are getting rub downs in the geisha thing. Yeah. I don't know what that was about.
Well, you would get the, he would do his shower with the star and
the
all
monkey
those,
pees on his head.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, and so Shandling did his own riff on that. And one of the bits was Mr. Ed was like, they had to bleep. Mr. Ed just kept being like, Lassie, what a bitch. And like, just like Mr. Ed was just, that son
of
a bitch.
Show. I probably saw all the Larry Sanders shows. I'm sure I saw all the Gary Shandling shows back in the day. And he was great. But again, a kind of a reluctant star, I guess you could say. And, kind of in a shameful, seemed, it's funny. I consider Gary maybe the most talented of his contemporaries, of Seinfeld, of Leno, of Letterman, and all those guys, and yet the guy who became the least famous.
But
it's,
I think,
kind of sad that way.
I think there's a almost a bevy if we sat and really thought about it, because like Richard Lewis is the same way, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no fame there. I think even less famous than Gary Shandling.
But
he was Richard Lewis was one of those guys that was famous for being on talk shows.
Yes,
right.
Where I knew him because I would watch Letterman and Carson and stuff religiously,
but
and he would always be
Richard Lewis, though, didn't have that energy of, like, he didn't have the same fame, he didn't have the same sort of what's the word, he didn't have the same charisma that Gary Shandling had. Gary Shandling had that headliner talk show host charisma that Johnny Carson had and David Letterman had, and and more so than some of those other guys. So I mean, Richard Lewis did what Richard Lewis does, but that he got as famous as he can get.
Well,
with his act
of
his
that generation of guys, I always think of like Belzer,
who
got lucky and got a TV gig that he milked for 20 years.
Right.
But Belzer, Richard Lewis, the late great David Brenna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Robin Williams, you'd probably
But
have
I always
to put
thought
in there.
Shandling was like of those guys the funniest.
Yeah.
And then when he made his own TV shows, those were great.
Absolutely. And you know, he got his start in comedy writing for Sanford and Son.
Yes.
And
I did not know that.
Yeah, he wrote Sanford and Son. Well, Sanford and Son was written by all Jews.
Well, of course. It's
until Red Fox.
Steptoe and
when
Son.
When it got famous, Red Fox took it over and fired all the Jews. And then,
yeah, they talked about that.
Yeah, they got rid of all the
Gilbert
Jews.
Show. And then they brought in like all black producers and writers, and the show kind of got to be a mess in about three episodes.
Right.
And Fred said, "Get me back my Jews."
So all the Jewish guys came back, but then he wanted to do stand-up. So he quit writing for television. Well, he, in addition to writing for television, he started performing stand-up. So he sort of went in the opposite direction that a lot of guys do. But
that's,
you know,
interesting.
If you were around in the 80s, I mean, the Comic Reliefs, I remember him doing spots on those.
When he
hosted
the Tonight, when he guest hosted the Tonight Show, what years was that about? Do we know?
It would have been the late 80s. Yeah, it would have been probably, early 90s.
Well, when did Joan leave?
85? Well, Jay took over in what, 92, right? 90, 92, 93.
Yeah, so
yeah.
Well, Joan Rivers was the permanent guest host.
Yes. Yeah, and then she did the Fox show.
And that was probably 86 or so. And so 86
God,
through 90.
My brain is a just disorganized shit pile. When does Carson die? What year is that?
Carson died only a couple of years ago.
I was going to say
Carson
died in
2003 or 4.
2003.
Yeah, something like that.
I had him on the Deadpool. Yeah. And
then, but when did the Tonight Show get taken over by Leno?
93. So he lived about 10 years after the Show, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Craziness.
Crazy, but good night to Gary. And
good night to Gary.
Rest in peace, Gary. And
and your hair looks fine.
66
Gary.
Years old.
Perfect.
And
your hair looks perfect.
You know, always kind of known as a coxman in Hollywood, hung out with Warren Beatty. Personally, Warren Beatty was one of his best friends. I know he banged the his girlfriend was the blonde that was on the later years of Larry Sanders. What was her name? Something Doucette.
Oh, yeah,
Linda
Doucette,
I think her name was.
Well, he dated Sharon Stone.
Yeah. He dated some of
Gary
the most.
Gary Shandling did?
He dated some of the most beautiful women in Hollywood.
Is
he was one of those.
Are we going to find out that he had a huge cock?
Okay, let me tell you this story.
A massive snake.
Is this going to be one of those Uncle Milty things?
That. All right, here's the story of the day. Speaking of that, have you seen this? This just broke today. John Lovitz, 58, engaged to Jessica Lowndes, 27. Look at Jessica. Have you seen this, Corey?
I saw this.
What the fuck is John Lovitz up to?
What the hell?
What the hell is... actress and singer-songer Jessica Lowndes is turning lots of heads, but it's not because of her talent. The former 90210R star teased followers about a new man in her life. It turned out to be John Lovitz. And this is the best picture of her with...
John Lovitz hand
she
in
goes,
her thighs?
She's driving, and there's like this old liver-spotted hand between her thighs, and she says in her Instagram, at the bottom of the Instagram, "His hands are wise and tell a thousand stories. # haters gonna hate." So this is a real thing. John Lovitz.
Yeah, that's a real thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my girlfriend.
That's the ticket.
That's my ticket. That's the girlfriend. Yeah. That's the ticket.
She got to know me.
Look at the two of them
on the beach.
His tits are bigger than hers.
Corey, there's still hope for you. Would you look at John Lovitz?
Hey, look at his.
John Lovitz. All right.
Come on.
Good for John Lovitz.
For
we'll all be happy when we're
Joel,
his age.
All you have to do is. Become a legend on Saturday Night Live 20 years ago.
How old is Lovitz?
58.
58.
She's 27.
That's fine. That's not outrageous.
Oh my God.
But I remember listening to Howard Stern, and he would have on like Playboy girls and stuff.
Yeah.
And the reputation, Lovitz had a reputation for being the best lover.
Really?
That any of these women. So there was several Playboy girls who came on and talked about John Lovitz's sexual prowess.
Is he one of those guys that we don't know is like a massive multimillionaire?
I'm not sure if he would.
He's got his own comedy club.
Yeah,
and
but I mean,
I think he was smart with his money and didn't.
Well, he does voiceovers and
but
stuff.
That's what
he
I'm
does,
saying.
Like,
he
Pixar
does like a lot. He does a lot
stuff.
Of Pixar stuff. Like,
yeah.
I think he's a lot wealthier than we are giving him credit for.
He might be,
and probably. He's probably one of those like secretly influential people that we don't understand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he's got a lot of contacts. He's got a lot of ins. He's got a lot of money.
Well, I mean, look, you have the fame thing going for you. So that's good. And maybe she can't, you know, maybe she's looking for a famous dude, and famous dudes aren't into her or something. I don't know, but I mean, I gotta look for
maybe also you fucking critics. Maybe it's love.
Could be. Maybe it's true. Maybe there's nothing wrong
wonderful,
with her.
Sure, John.
And
beautiful.
Maybe there you go.
Maybe her previous boyfriend was Bigfoot.
Maybe it's love. She looks a little bit like Megan Fox.
She does a little bit. It does sort of look like it does look a little like a
she was dating DB Cooper and then she left him for John. Lennon.
And when I say she looks like Megan Fox, I mean she looks like that face that they give to women who want to look like Megan Fox.
I have a theory.
They stamped her out in the plant.
Right?
I have a theory that, you know, since Shandling died,
mm-hmm.
John Lovitz is now assumed a higher. Is anybody with me on this?
I can see
so this. So Shandling dead.
I gotta say
now
it bumps everybody up.
Shandling was never a handsome man.
No.
And then he got his face got all puffy.
Yeah, he looked like he had worked on or something.
And weird.
Did Jesus Christ.
He did an X-Men film, right?
He's in Iron Man.
He's in the Avengers
right.
as well. Yeah,
right. So. Playing a female congressman. Right?
Yes. No, but he did look have puffy lips and he's sort of a feminine.
He was starting to get that old man estrogen.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Well, too Warren Beatty, he started to look like Warren Beatty, actually, if you think about it.
I don't even want to know.
Has
what
anyone
Warren
seen
Beatty,
Warren Beatty lately?
What's he got to
look
like?
Gary Shandling and Warren Beatty the same person?
You know, it's probably, like I said, ugly lasts forever.
Yeah.
And I'm aging at a relatively decent pace because I never had anywhere to fall from.
Yeah.
Look at Robert Redford. He looks like cracked asphalt now. You know, he looks like a pile of debris landed
I think it's
on the freeway.
It's true. I mean, he looks very sun-worn, and maybe that's why he's making movies where he just pretends to be lost at sea for 7 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Years. And there's an excuse for how he looks.
Robert Redford was always the guy who said, I'm not having any cosmetic surgery.
For sure.
And then you look at him now, and you're like, oh, fuck, man. What the hell?
You probably should have.
Yeah, maybe you should have thought that over.
In 1974, he was the most handsome man in the world.
If you would have had a nip and a tuck in 85,
but Shandling was looking smooth.
Him well. Yeah, but
he
sat in the sun his whole life.
He was getting work done.
Well, he was. Yeah. Well, but he was a guy that was ugly and yet was self-conscious. You know, he cared about his looks. He was very, he was egotistical.
Ugly in vain.
Yeah. Ugly in vain. Yeah, that's
which
exactly.
is the new morning show coming to WJLB.
I'll be vain if you be ugly. How's that?
Ugly in vain. FM 98 WJLB.
All right. Well, that happened. Very sad. We miss Gary and John Lovitz. Good luck with your young pussy. I mean, good luck with that. And
Gary will live on forever in 30-second YouTube clips that are poorly edited and digitized.
Yeah, that's sad. That's sad.
Yeah. Well,
but wasn't that thing, you know, didn't they release Larry Sanders, but they didn't have rights to all the shows?
There was a change music and stuff.
There was,
right?
There was a big fight with Brad Gray.
Brad Gray was the producer.
Was his manager.
His manager.
Was Gary's manager, and there was a big rights issue and a claim, and so they kind of, they put out this set that was the best of.
But not the complete.
But
Larry
I think
Sanders.
The complete ones have been put out or complete
have they?
Seasons have been
so I remember out. When they came out, you and I talking about like buying those, and we're like, well, they're not the complete ones, so why would you
that, like,
half-ass these?
It was kind of like the best of collection was really good because it had these crazy interviews where he had an interview with Sharon Stone, and they talked about their relationship.
Okay, yeah.
And then like he boxed Alec Baldwin.
Okay.
And they were like sparring.
Yeah.
And they're really weird. And there's also a great Shandling interview with Ricky Gervais where he just tears Ricky a new asshole and just makes him uncomfortable and calls him naughty and like, and Ricky's confused because he's like, you're my idol. I love you. Though Ricky does say that he looks like Bingo from the Banana Splits.
It's interesting that you can't, get the entire Gary Shandling show collection and you can't get the entire Carson show collection.
No. Well, Carson's not. There's
and you certainly can't get the guest
the guest
on YouTube
host ones,
those.
Yeah. Right. Those you need to but the Carsons don't exist beyond a certain point.
For sure.
And Johnny's like estate only owns certain years.
Yeah.
You know, I think Johnny took over ownership in one of the
But I'm saying it's a weird
contract,
twist
Johnny
of fate
got
that you can't get either of those things. Which are kind of mocking in and of
each running,
other.
They're running Carson's reruns on Antenna TV and I saw one from like 73 or 4, and it was Buddy Hackett in a blue cravat and like blue pants.
I only want to see it if it's Brother Theodore.
What about McLean Stevenson?
Brother Theodore has got to be on an episode.
McLean Stevenson shitting on Wayne Newton.
Yeah.
He was talking about Wayne Newton's head wasn't big enough for his body.
Wow.
He's going to get a bike pump and pump up some air in there.
Wow.
And I'm like, why is McLean Stevenson cutting promos on Wayne Newton?
Well, there you go.
Yeah, Brother Theodore.
Mash money.
Well, I thought Brother Theodore was more on Letterman.
He was nonstop on Letterman.
Was he?
Yeah, when the Minnesota.
The NBC Letterman. Yeah.
We're really reaching out to the millennials.
Yeah, I know. We got
to.
Listen,
episode.
Millennials, if you don't know about this, please do yourself a favor and Google search Brother Theodore Minnesota Noodle Ring and watch that clip. Because there was a little stint of time when Brother Theodore was being tracked down by the Minnesota Noodle Ring.
I guess Eric Andre is the closest thing to this.
Mm-hmm.
The professional weirdo. Like, Eric Andre is advertising himself like he's doing comedy, but there used to be these kind of guys that were, like, weird acts like Professor Irwin Corey
right.
and Brother Theodore, and they would just come out and never really break character.
Well, yeah, and they would do Father Guido Sarducci was sort of in that mold, too.
Yes,
you know.
And that doesn't really exist anymore.
No, that was a thing. But I think now with all the information, you know, like, you never...
It's hard to keep a
you
character.
You never
up.
Knew who, the you know, like, Larry Bud Melman... Right. You only ever saw him as Larry Bud Melman. You couldn't get a lot of information.
No
about
one
these
knew
people.
Until about 5 years ago who fucking Leon Redbone was.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he successfully hid his like real name from everyone. I don't even know, but it's on Wikipedia.
Irv Shickleman.
But people in 1970 thought he was 60 years old.
Yeah,
and
right.
Then, you know,
Harvey Spiderman.
Yeah.
Well, you know, old Hollywood. You could keep a secret in old Hollywood.
That's right.
You can't anymore. It's too bad.
I just want to do 20 minutes of Leon Redbone. And you know, every time you say that name.
Let's move on here.
All right, let's move on.
Some other topics. By the way, we're going to review Batman v Superman, if that's what you're listening for. But we have to do it at the end of the show, because there's going to be spoilers.
Spoilers.
And we have some insight, and we're going to talk to somebody who actually was on the set of Batman v
Superman. Oh, that's interesting to me.
So they'll be here.
I'll be interested to hear that, because I worked on the film.
Well, that might be coincidental then. So let's move on to a couple things here. Corey, do you want to talk about? We were watching a show that were we watching TV simultaneously while we were on the phone? We do that sometimes.
It sounds so gay.
it sounds so gay
when you say it like that.
Jesus.
So we're on the phone. We're both jerking off. Well, and no.
The whole reason this podcast exists is that Joel and I would talk on the phone.
Yes.
And say, this is funny. We should do this. And John and I would. You know, hang around when John had the toy store coffee shop, or sometimes John would just go, hey, let's go drive to every bookstore, every used bookstore in the
world. Right.
Yeah. And there was so much fun just in that kind of stuff that we ended up going, let's expose others to this crap.
Yeah.
All right. So we do the.
Well, yeah. So anyway, we were talking the other day and Corey was like, who's this actress on? What show was that?
Blind Spot. It's the one with the girl
Blind
with
Spot.
Tattoos.
I guess it's a hit show on NBC. I've never seen it.
I saw John Hodgman was on it.
Okay, yeah.
So I stopped for a minute and went, what's John Hodgman?
And you
doing?
Said, who's that blonde girl?
And then
so I turned it on.
Blonde girl.
And I go, that's a girl named Ashley Johnson. She does the voice acting in the video game The Last of Us, which is like the greatest video game ever made.
Wait, hold on one second.
And she's.
I need to interrupt your flow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've never watched The Blind Spot except for one time.
Okay.
And I stopped because I saw John Hodgman on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was I watching the same fucking episode?
Well, I think he's on.
Is he on it all the time?
I think he's a regular.
All right.
So I said, this Ashley Johnson from this video game that I know. And Corey's like, well, she was a kid actor. And I go, I don't know her as a kid actor. And he goes, well, she was on Growing Pains. She was like the kid they added later.
Yes.
And I go, I thought they added Leo later on Growing Pains to be the kid that they add later. And then this got into this whole discussion about when shows would add a kid later and how that happened. Now, I did some, I started writing down all the shows where they added a kid. So I go through my own brain, and this is what I came up with. And Corey, some of these we came up with on the phone. There was Sam from Different Strokes, the little redheaded bastard.
Sam?
Oh, God.
Mr. D.
His wife's stepson.
He married Dixie Carter.
Yeah.
Sam gets kidnapped in an episode, I think.
I think he does.
I really don't. I think he gets kidnapped in an episode.
They couldn't fucking kill Different Strokes. Different Strokes started and like... Arnold was like 5.
Yeah.
Well, how, you know,
Gary, the kids got 2 bits.
Right, Gary Coleman was like 14, but he looked 5.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was still somewhat.
He had bad kids.
He was actually a real kid or something.
Yeah.
And then they kept the show on for 10 years, and then they couldn't kill it.
Yeah. So well, that's what they do. They would bring on kids because either they wanted to get a younger audience, so they'd bring on a little kid, or the kids weren't cute anymore. They became weird looking and old, you know? So anyway, that was one that I came up with. Family Ties added a little kid. I forget.
Brian Bonsall.
I forget the character's name on Family Ties, but he was on there.
Well, okay, and then what these shows always do, they'd have a baby, and so you'd have the hilarious episode where Skippy boil some water and my, you know, Alec get some pickles or whatever, and they would run around in a tizzy because she was gonna have the baby and then the baby would be three
the baby
in the next episode
the baby would come
after a season and the baby suddenly be walking and talking
3 years old,
of course.
And the other ones that I came up with are Leo DiCaprio on Growing Pains, Full House. Didn't they add the littlest
baby boys.
On Full House?
They added little boys, twin boys later on came onto the show.
One Day at a Time added the teenager on One Day at a Time, the teenage kid. Do you guys remember who that was?
What about Archie Bunker's Place?
Yeah, they added the little... the
Dominique.
The girl after Edith passes away.
Of course, Cosby Show added Raven Simone, who was like a...
That was Lisa Bonet's daughter?
Yeah, it was like a granddaughter to him. And, of course, Facts of Life would rotate the kids in and out. They were constantly bringing in new kids on that. And then, of course, the Brady Bunch. And this is when I did my research. Brady Bunch, I guess, is the one that's credited as popularizing it as when they brought on Cousin Oliver. Because those kids were, like, in their 20s, it seemed like, at the end.
Right.
You know? So they brought in Cousin Oliver.
Greg and Marcia were smoking fat dubes.
And now it's considered, it actually has a name now, it's called the Cousin Oliver Syndrome. And it's on, if you look at the TVTropes.com, they talk about whenever, you know, Cousin Oliver is the inexplicable kid added to a show's roster, usually in an attempt to liven up an aging cast with a character for younger demographics that they can relate to. So
I want to say My Three Sons did that.
Yeah, I've got a list here. Some of these articles that I found had
because
a list
before
here.
now they just before that they would just cancel the fucking show.
Right,
exactly. Yeah,
like Leave It to Beaver. Beaver got pretty old.
Yes.
Beaver's
but they never did that on Leave It to Beaver. They always went with. Okay, Who's the Boss added a character called Billy.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, but you can
Mona.
Yeah.
Angela, Samantha, fucking Jonathan.
Well, you love Tony. You love you some Tony
what
Danza,
was the last
don't you?
One? Bobby.
Family Matters added a kid named 3J. We never watched that show, did we? That's
well, we're Caucasian.
Behind our times. Growing Pains has Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right.
They've got that there.
Well, the problem with Growing Pains...
Sam on Different Strokes.
Growing Pains added two kids.
Yeah.
The problem with Growing Pains was that Ben Seaver was never cute.
I never saw this, but this just looks bad from the still. They added a little kid to the Partridge Family.
Ooh.
Ricky.
Oh, Christ.
That's kind of before our time. Then
we're not quite old enough for the
But they don't have on... Do they have on there... They brought in, when I was saying, kind of off mic beforehand, on Happy Days, there's an episode where Fonzie becomes a stepdad.
Yeah.
And they bring in a little girl.
A little girl. Well,
and that is a disaster.
Chachi,
if you watch the episodes where Fonzie is a dad, it is not good.
Chachi was kind of became a full-time, maybe it was after Richie left.
It was after Richie left to do
Chachi,
whatever. And then Chachi
The Happy Days had like some kind of, they had Crisis on Infinite Earths where the rules of the Happy Days universe just broke down. It suddenly became 1983.
Yeah, Fonzie still was wearing a leather jacket. He was a 50-year-old leather jacket wearing stepfather.
The show started and it was 1955, and then 7 years later it was like 82. Okay. How
did it start in 55?
It was in the mid-50s.
Yeah. When they went to New Arnold's or whatever, it became the '80s. Or the
show was set in the '50s, right?
But it almost stopped becoming a period show. So did Laverne and Shirley. When Laverne and Shirley went to California, it stopped being about the 60s.
Laverne and Shirley was set in like the early '60s.
Yes, it was contemporary.
But
right.
Laverne and Shirley supposedly ends in 69. They celebrate going into 1970.
Yeah,
but they're dressed like they're in the last episode, right? Okay. You still got guys in 1970. Hello, you still got a greaser walking around.
And by the way,
I can find you a greaser in 2016. It's not hard.
That's true.
Well, that's a come around.
But Lenny and Squiggy were like greaser looking guys.
Yeah, right.
Carmine never looked like he was in the period at all.
No,
he always had that bouncy Eddie Mecca Italian.
He was
throw.
The closeted gay guy.
Wait, what? Carmine?
Yeah. Oh. singing and dancing, well, closeted, homosexual.
He was singing and did he ever get a piece off Shirley or not?
Never.
Did that never happened?
She ended up marrying somebody else.
Did she marry? I don't
what?
Remember. What?
Yeah.
How dare you?
What?
What?
I remember one episode where...
Shirley ends up marrying someone else, and she's not even the last season of Laverne and Shirley. It's just Laverne.
So, like, okay, Laverne's dad, Mr. DeFazio, who had the pizza parlor, the Bronco Bowl.
Right.
Yeah.
When they moved to, they moved out.
Him and Edna get married. They open up the cowboy restaurant.
Right. And he always had, like, sideburns and frizzy.
Well, he looked like an immigrant.
What are you talking about?
Big fat Dago guy. Yeah, he was believable. All right, let me give you some more.
I love when Mr. DeFazio would punch a box in the air and suddenly shoot fireballs. Right,
let me give you some more.
Hey,
let me give you some more kids added to Penny. Janet Jackson was added to Good Times.
Shit. Oh yeah.
I Love Lucy added Little Ricky.
That's right.
To that show, which never had kids on it until Little Ricky. A Full House added Nikki and Alex. I don't know who they were.
Let me jump back and tell you how hysterical the Penny storyline was.
Please do.
Yeah. So do you know that storyline?
Penny was she an orphan? Who
no, she was an abused child whose mother beat her and left her alone in the apartment.
And
all
she was
the time.
Adopted by the neighbor?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So Wilona ends up adopting
her. Penny.
But then the mother comes back and wants the daughter back. It is not happy times at Good Times.
Jeez.
Remember the episode where Thelma was selling her ass on the street to get
those clothes,
Michael.
All right, let's move on here.
I do remember the time when Jimmy Walker goes to the VD clinic to get checks out and sits down next to Jay Leno.
What?
Okay.
Jay Leno is in that episode.
Jay Leno.
Wasn't Jay on? Jay was on Mork and Mindy and stuff, wasn't he? Letterman was on Mork and Mindy, right?
I know.
Mork and Mindy, they brought Mirth in?
Well, Mork and Mindy, they
bring in a child?
Well,
the size of Jonathan Winters?
Well, I like that because that was a riff on that. Yeah, you know, that was sort of like, we'll bring in a kid, but we'll bring in Jonathan Winters. Okay, give me a break, added Joey Lawrence.
Wasn't who's the guy that Jay Thomas was on Mork and Mindy?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And he always talks about how...
He was a young Mr. DeFazio.
Yes, he was.
But anyway, do you guys remember any of these kids on the
show? I do. I remember them.
I mean, Oliver was terrible on Brady Bunch.
Okay.
He was not good.
So Brian Bonsall, who was on Family Ties,
yeah.
And they brought him in as the little brother. He's the king of this, and now he's in a punk rock band.
Is he really?
Of course.
He has, like, neck tattoos. He was the king of it because he not only did Growing Pain, or not only did Family Ties... He was Worf's son on Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh, wow.
And he was extremely annoying as a Klingon child, just as he was as a regular kid.
Now,
Alexander.
This is Brian Bonsall.
Yes.
Okay, because when Joel first said it, for some reason, in my mind, I saw the face of Brian Bosworth.
No, it's not Brian Bosworth.
It's off a big, huge Mohawk
from
football
the Oklahoma
player.
Sooners.
Yeah,
and
with his wrapped
Seahawks.
Sunglasses.
Yeah. Yeah,
I was like, that's a weird kid to put on a show.
Look how stupid this Klingon kid looks. I mean, this is...
I remember that.
It's like a little kid with big eyebrows like a Klingon. So
they're trying. But that's, you know...
So
that's
stupid.
That's
so
the thing you used to see.
Are you guys bringing a kid in on this show?
We having a kid on?
Right?
Yep, we brought one in.
I have my cousins have children who are, you know...
I brought Miles in on Top Tennies.
Miles?
I brought my nephew Miles in for an interview. I brought a kid in the final episodes of Top Tennies.
Well, we're desperate. We'll do that on the show. But anyway.
Take this to the streets. Let's hear what the kids
let's see what the people have to say.
Let's hear what the kids have to say about their memories of Gary Shandling.
Who's this old guy? Well, it's, you know. All right. Let's talk about another old Hollywood thing. I mean, we did this on the last show. I said I was watching Cannonball Run 2 on cable. Mm-hmm. It was on one of the movie channels here. And how they never make Cannonball Run movies anymore, and why can't they get this big ensemble comedies that they used to make? You know, they did those in the 60s and the 70s and through the 80s, and then they kind of ended.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you'd have these movies, you know, it's a mad, 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 mad world, and all these, you know, movies with these giant cast of characters. And, you know, they sort of ended with those Burt Reynolds Cannonball Run movies. Why can't they make more of those? And the next day they announced... that they are going to make more Cannonball Run movies.
What?
Oh, yeah. Then the guy that's directing them, the guy that's supposed to be Warner Brothers is going to make them. It's the guy, guy named Ethan Coen. I don't know if it's Ethan, but it's not Ethan Coen of the Coen Brothers.
Like, okay, there's Eaton, Paul, there's yeah. Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yes,
and then there's Paul W. S. Anderson.
Yes, yeah.
Who makes the shittiest movie?
Makes the right. Resident Evil movie.
Right, Paul Thomas Anderson makes
but
great
then you have
films.
Ethan Coen.
Ethan Coen made
Ethan Coen.
Ethan Coen made Get Hard. And was also a writer.
And then
on...
there's John Tenney.
There's a John Tenney.
Yes.
And then there's John E. L.
Well, didn't I, wasn't there a yeah. show where there was John Tenney and I sent you a picture of
yeah,
it?
John Tenney is on Major Crimes
yeah, John Tenney,
on
yeah.
TNT
okay, there you go.
With Chad Lindbergh.
Oh, your friend.
Was your co-host.
My co-host on my
your
show.
Partner.
Yeah. Ethan Coen wrote Tropic Thunder. And Men in Black 3 and Madagascar Escape to Africa.
So, wow, that's a...
Yeah, I know. But anyway, so based on this, I thought about who should be casting the new Cannonball Run. I have okay. a list. Now, if you guys have any suggestions,
all right.
but I've made... This is a full type page
oh.
of who should be in the new Cannonball Run.
This Burt Reynolds.
Some of these are... Well, you could do Burt Reynolds. I thought about that.
Burt Reynolds needs
Why
to be
Why not
in
do
it?
Burt Reynolds? And Dom DeLuise is dead.
Right. So you put Ralphie May in there.
Well, you could do Burt Reynolds.
I got a team in mind.
Okay. Here's who I went with straight away.
Are you doing teams?
I'm doing teams. Okay. Some of them are actual solo. Maybe you could team all those right. up. I went with, well, if you're going to do this and you want to have universal appeal,
yep.
you got to have your urban team. So Ice Cube and Kevin Hart, there's your first team. I sign okay. them first. There you go. That's your first
all right.
team.
I got a team.
Go give us
I
a team.
I got a team. Kevin James
yeah.
and Madea.
Why would they be a team?
I don't know, but
okay.
come on, imagine the fireworks.
All right. If you want to do your blacks and you don't want to do Ice Cube and Kevin Hart.
I'm not touching Madea because now she's doing a paranormal film.
Oh.
Have you seen this? Madea's Halloween.
It's called Spooks.
No, have you seen it? It's Madea's.
Spooks in the Kitchen.
Okay.
Madea's Very Scary
all
Halloween.
All right. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody.
I'm sorry.
Corey, it's been great having you on the show all these years. And
did you want to talk
about if
wait,
you'd like
wait,
to,
wait a minute.
If you'd like to do
all,
Corey's
we just
role.
Talked about the, we just talked about the archives. That was the most tame thing we
yeah,
would have said.
I know.
Listen, if you guys want to talk about the show Ghost Brothers, which is coming out
oh,
next
God.
Month on Destination America, the
yeah.
all African American ghost
guys
hunting team.
Looking for ghosts?
Yes, it is.
It is.
The
Ghost
episode,
Brothers.
By the way, the
it's
episode,
called Ghost
the
Brothers.
Episode is 3 minutes. They arrive on the scene.
It is not
they
true.
Walk in the door and be like, I'm getting the hell out of here.
Nope.
Oh, hell no.
It is not.
I ain't fucking with no ghost.
You know what? It is not any of that, and it is not watchable.
Okay, well, let me get. All right, but if you want to do black guys, how about Method Man and Red Man in the Cannonball Run? How about that? I'd watch that.
Method Man.
That's a good team. All right, then I win for like white guy comedy teams. How about Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum?
Okay.
Or you could do any of those Apatow guys, James mm-hmm. Franco and Seth Rogen, or Jason Segel, Jay Baruchel, any of those guys, they'd be good in that.
How about the Wilson brothers in a panel van?
Okay, I went with I know. I had Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn.
Oh, okay.
As a team, or you can do Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson, or you could do Vince Vaughn and Jon Favreau. All kind of the same
you
thing
know,
there.
Them, that would go with that.
Favreau and Vaughn.
I'd like to see the Butterscotch Stallion and the Tapioca Pony reuniting Owen
well,
and
but,
Luke
but aren't,
Wilson.
Aren't, what about, but isn't Vince Vaughn and Favreau, aren't they kind of the Rat Pack kind of guys? Could
but I see,
the
I think, but I think you got to break it up. I think you have to mix it up.
Yeah, that's why all I had, that's
so
why
I think
had
you
Kevin
have,
James and Madea.
No, well,
I think you
but
have,
in the old ones, they were teams. They were people. I mean, they did have the mix, Matt. Tony Danza was with the Hillbillies in Canada.
Right.
Runs, what about Tony Hale and Jason Bateman?
Oh, okay.
Or David Cross and Jay. Any of those guys.
Too.
Will Arnett.
All right. What about the Jackass guys? Johnny Knoxville and Steve O. Would you put them in that movie? That could be funny. Mm. They actually did the Gumball Rally on Jackass.
I think that you,
how about Melissa McCarthy and Rebel Wilson in a,
you
in
know
a,
what?
In a dump truck?
Well, I thought about Melissa McCarthy and another, you know, like maybe
they're in a cement mixer,
Kristen
and
Wiig
they just drop cement sometimes to slow down the other. Or Rebel Wilson uses the incredible power of her pussy,
yeah.
which is. In every Rebel Wilson movie, she's the most desirable thing.
Yeah.
Everyone.
I don't
can't
even know if
wait.
I know who that is.
You know
she's a
Rebel
big
Wilson?
Fat blonde Australian actress. She was in Pitch
oh, I
Perfect.
Gotcha.
And
I know.
She
I
was in
it.
Bridesmaids for a minute. She
gotcha.
Was the
it's
roommate.
Like, in every Rebel Wilson movie,
yeah.
she's like instantly everybody wants to fuck her. She
yeah.
walks in the room. There's hot girls
gotcha.
Four
well,
times.
I had her with teaming up with Jason Statham. from Spy. They were very good together in Spy, and I thought they might be good in Cannonball Run
together.
Statham's perfect for that.
Statham is the Burt Reynolds of this.
He kind of is, yeah.
Right?
He could be.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, I also thought about, what about Burt Reynolds and Bradley Cooper, father and son?
Wow.
That's kind of great. I am fucking good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, America. Thank you.
I'm going to give it up for that.
Okay. All right. Now about this. I got
more. What about Damon and Clooney?
Sure. Well, you could do, you could do the Oceans guys. Yeah. You could do Wahlberg and...
Or Affleck and Damon.
Affleck and Damon. Okay. How about this one? If you want your Brits, I've got a couple, Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. Pretty great. Pretty great.
You know what? Damon and Affleck are too big a star. Cannonball Run is about your C-list.
You know what I think this is? I think here's the concept, right? You mix up the teams. So you have, like, you don't have who they end up as
that's
the teams
one of the
you're
rules.
Talking.
Yeah. You know what? That's the rule of the Cannonball Run. They show up together as teams, and the organizers say, wait a second, Sean Hayes... You have to ride with Ice-T.
Yeah.
Right.
And so then you mix up the team.
If you don't want to do for Brits, Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant. Okay, there's Brits.
Who's Eugene Levy going to ride with?
That's Catherine O'Hara. No.
You're going to break the teams up.
No, you don't break. Why would you fucking break the teams up? They never fucking broke the teams up. I do my fucking teams. I wrote a whole fucking thing of teams.
What about Eugene Levy?
I wrote a whole fucking thing of teams. And they're going to say you can't do the
what
fucking
What about Eugene
teams.
Levy is the dad of Matthew McConaughey?
That's fine.
Matthew McConaughey and Eugene Levy, father and son.
Joel gets so mad because he did it.
Who's the kid from
list.
American Pie? Put him with him. The father, son from the kid from American
can
Pie.
Can there be a team of those little fucking yellow things that everybody loves?
The minions? Yes, the minions. Fox does it. The minions will be in it. All right, okay. What about old Hollywood team? Whoopi Goldberg and Billy Crystal as the old Hollywood team. Anyone in for that?
Right, and they're driving like the Beverly Hills Hillbillies wagon.
The way 2016's going, who's going to be left?
I don't know. What about Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly?
Will Ferrell and Will Smith. Ooh.
That's a great team. That's a classic comedy team.
How about Ned Beatty and his son, Kevin James?
I've also gotten... what about Ryan Gosling doing the Drive character? I don't know who he's with, but...
Just him.
Ryan Gosling. Yeah, he could be...
He's with Vin Diesel, and they fight the whole time.
And Daniel Craig doing Bond, because you had Roger Moore in Cannonball Run. You could do Daniel Craig. I have Ken...
Why can't you have Roger Moore do James Bond?
You could have Roger Moore. You could have Sean Connery.
Roger Moore.
That would be funny.
Roger Moore doesn't have a car. He's got a motorized wheelchair. And he just zips along.
Ken Jeong and the guy from Straight Off the Boat as the Asians who can't drive team. That could be a team.
Ken Jeong, you got to put with Jet Li.
Okay, you could do that. Sammo Hung.
Sammo Hung.
All right. Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
Well, fucking shit.
Yeah, who cares?
Enough of that.
What about the Top Gear guys? Would you put Richard Hammond, May, and... You almost can't put them in a scripted thing. Andy Samberg probably should be in it because he's dumb enough to be in
that. What about the Mythbusters? Speaking of teams that don't like each other.
Well, they don't like each other. Okay, if you're going to do Cops, I have suggestions for Cops. If you do Southern Cops, you've got Billy Bob Thornton, Woody Harrelson, or Matthew McConaughey as Southern Cops.
Right.
If you want to do regular white guy cops, Bill Hader, who was great in Superbad as the cop.
Right.
And the guy who's got to be in the movie in some form, Thomas Lennon, has to be. You can't do a new Cannonball Run Thomas Lennon, Corey? Isn't he the perfect guy for Cannonball Run?
Who do you pair him up with?
Well, if he was a cop, he could play off his cop character.
But can't you do, if you do Cannonball Run, can't you do the first like couple states that they go through, the cops are the cops, all the cops from Reno 911?
Well, yeah, it could be
And
that.
Then when they get to a different state, it's all super troopers.
Yeah.
I think the Reno 911 cops chasing the Cannonball Run.
Okay.
Is that the way
would be
to
good.
Go?
Right?
And there's a whole new season of Reno 911 shot from their perspective of chasing the Cannonball Run people from
amazing.
The movie.
Sadly, Jerry Reed, who played Enoch Snow,
he's
the snowman, is no longer with us.
Mel Tillis is still around? The stuttering cowboy,
what
is
about
he still around?
Mac Davis?
What about if you
is
get
he around?
Tarantino? Like, what about Sam Jackson and... either Travolta or the guy from Boardwalk Empire.
Are there any teams from the original Cannonball that can be in this?
I don't know that. I mean,
is anybody alive?
Well, Tony Danza's alive from 2.
Tony Danza.
And, you know, and Burt Reynolds is alive.
What about Tony and the orangutan?
Jackie Chan's are alive.
See, that's what I'm saying. Could you get Jackie Chan and, like, his team of, like, Japanese people who created the submarine car or whatever it was that they have for him?
What about Brett McKenzie and Jermaine Clement, the Flight of the Conchords?
Oh, okay, well.
They can only take the subway or ride bikes, though, because they're hipsters.
What about Sean Hayes, Will Sasso... revising, they can do the Three Stooges characters.
That's not a bad idea. That's not bad.
Who is the third in that Stooges? Sasso, Hayes, and who else?
All right. We'll keep the teams together, but then halfway through the race, they have to switch. Okay. Does that make everybody happy? All right.
But I think I came up with some solid teams.
Could you have Charlize Theron and Hardy?
Sure, yeah, you could do
who
that.
Who is John Leguizamo going to ride with?
John Leguizamo?
Who is John Leguizamo going to ride with?
Every time you see him, he will be a different one of his characters in the car.
His hilarious character.
Sometimes he's a Chiquita lady.
I forgot Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope. That was another name I had on here.
Well, you know?
I think they're available.
Yeah.
I think you can afford them.
You probably
They'd be willing and able to do
that. Who is Mike Epps going to ride?
Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard, a married couple.
Of course.
Yeah, why not?
They did a movie, by the way.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That was kind of.
They were like a road movie.
They did kind of a car movie where they were on the run being chased by people, and it was horrible.
Yeah.
Did anyone see that? You just mentioned that. For some reason, it popped in my head. We're talking about road trips and cars and stuff like that. Did anybody see that National Lampoon movie, The Vacation Reboot?
The Vacation Reboot.
I did. I saw Where the I Millers, did not. Okay. Which I actually just wondered.
Yeah, Where the Millers was almost Vacation without.
It was kind of funny, actually.
Yeah, you know, it's playing on HBO, and I had it on for a second, and I really liked the original Vacation, but, you know, you had Harold Ramis and John Hughes and all those guys coming together in that. Right. I don't know if you can do it now.
Can you guys imagine the love scene between Ryan Gosling and Rebel Wilson? I think it's going to be. And then there'll be the great scene.
Well, yeah, he does the drive character, and he has to drive around a big fat chick. Are you finding Rebel Wilson? Is that
I've got Rebel Wilson pictures.
Okay, sure.
You want him, but
had to figure out what was going on.
Oh,
there's a lot.
I went down the Worf rabbit hole when I showed John the picture of Alexander.
I had to put a place to a name.
Okay.
Yeah. Ooh, LeVar Burton.
You want him on in Cannonball Run?
He's not big enough anymore.
Well, I mean, you could do that. You could do.
Who could Wendy Williams ride with? Could we put her in a car?
Yeah, Maury Povich.
How about that?
My dad loves Wendy Williams, by
the way. We'll
have the
loser talk show bus.
Yeah.
It will be Montel.
Okay.
Maury Povich.
Jerry
Kelly Jesse.
They'll be trying to interview people at every stop.
They'll be passing out DNA tests to the other racers.
What about if Charlie Sheen, and like everybody just wants to drive as fast as they can to get away from him? Because he's got the age. There's hot chicks that he's trying to fuck the team of hot chicks.
Oh, I was out of line. I was out of line for the black guy goats joke. But the AIDS rips. You can just drop those. He's got the HIV, and they're afraid to get the fag juice
afraid.
On him. So they're riding faster away.
What about Martin Sheen and Charlie Sheen?
Oh, my God.
Charlie Sheen, Emilio Estevez.
Now, we've talked about this on the show before, and we just talked about Eddie Mecca, the great Carmine, the big Ragu Ragusa. Who are the big dumb Dagos of today? They don't have that
character. Well, you know.
They're still out there.
Well, Stallone's still doing Rocky.
Yeah.
So you've got that. But yeah, you don't get the big dumb. Well, I mean, the Sopranos guys.
Yeah.
You know.
You know what would suck?
Wait a second.
Yeah.
Because you just opened up a whole new door.
What's that? Mm-hmm.
You watched any American Idol this season?
I've watched none. Mm.
Do you know that one of the guest judges?
Yes.
Was Steven Van Zandt.
I'm aware of that. I didn't see the episode, though. Mm.
What are they doing on American Idol?
Well, they're
thinking that kids know who Steven Van Zandt.
They don't know who Steven Van Zandt. Did they? I heard the controversy amongst
they showed him not
the
only
Bruce fans.
They showed him not only as the a founding member of the E Street Band.
Yeah.
But they spent more time explaining who he was on The Sopranos. And then he's going to give you musical
advice.
That's what's so sad is the Sopranos has been off the air for 8 years.
The Springsteen fans were outraged that apparently Jennifer Lopez didn't know who he was.
She had no idea who he was.
Yeah, she didn't know who Steve
was. I saw that episode, and when she was talking, she goes...
He's done that before on the show, though.
Yeah,
so
but
maybe before
she had no idea who he was.
Well, why would she know?
Right.
You know, why would she know who anyone...
Right.
Why would she know who one of the top grossing rock and roll bands of all time, lead guitarist was? Why would she know? she would.
Well, why would you know anyone who'd played music for
exactly.
real?
Like, how do you? But how do you not know? This is the question: is how do you not know the seven people that are involved with the television show?
Well,
that
is,
you're doing?
There should be a producer to give you a set of notes.
Absolutely.
And go.
Yeah.
This is Steven Van Zandt, you know, yes. from the E Street Band.
Yeah. Who's the other hilarious Mexican that we can put in the car with Selena Gomez and Gabriel Fluffy Iglesias?
Yeah, yeah. I'm for that one. Like, I like that one.
Can you have them accidentally at some point as an inside joke? Have them run over Carlos Mencia.
What about gay guys? Should we have a team of gay guys?
We had Sean Hayes.
Yeah, I guess
and,
so. Sure.
And what, Nathan and, Lane. What
Nathan Lane would be great.
No, you could have Nathan Lane and what's his fucking name? Man, did that just pop out of my head from How that? I Met Your Mother?
Oh, yeah, Neil Patrick Harris.
You have Neil Patrick Harris and Nathan Lane.
Well, that's not bad.
He's a top bottom.
He's not, that's not
Neil
bad.
Neil Patrick Harris is our nation's top bottom.
He's got free time now that Best Show Ever. He's canceled.
Oh God, that was terrible.
The Best Show Ever is no longer with us.
I don't even know what that is.
Holy shit.
Yeah, you missed modern day variety show.
I feel like we put two famous people.
Or it was Best Time Ever. That's
I feel like
that
two
was,
we had the people were too famous that we put in our cannibal.
You think so?
Well, they were kind of, I don't know.
You need like, B-stars is what you're talking
well,
about?
Well, there were people like Wayne Newton that were in the Cannonball.
Yeah, I mean, there were famous people, but they weren't always famous for being in movies.
Dean
sometimes.
Martin was like famous. He was past his prime. They were all like kind of dried up old.
Right.
Where's Yakov Smirnoff going to ride? Is he going to ride?
Yeah, but that's not, I mean, you got to make a, if you're going to make Cannonball Run, you have to, First of all, I guarantee I'm going to get at least three teams right when the movie finally comes out.
Kevin Hart's got to be in it, right?
Yeah, I think you can have do Kevin Hart and The Rock if you don't want to do Kevin Hart and Ice Cube.
I mean, you got to figure that Will Ferrell and John Cena.
I think those guys would be automatic as well. Yeah. I think that they would be. I think you start with one or the other. If you want to go for the blacks, you go for Kevin Hart. If not, you go with Will Ferrell.
For the blacks.
You know,
what about Seth Rogen in the car that runs on pot?
Franco, yeah, why not?
Him, Franco, and the guy from Eastbound and Down is in the back of the van.
Oh, Danny McBride.
Danny, and they just put like bricks of weed into the engine.
Yeah,
to keep it,
that'd be good. I'm for that. Danny McBride, perfect for Cannonball Run.
Absolutely,
he'd be a great like sheriff.
Yep.
On that, yeah. Yeah. See,
he's the commissioner that you've never seen, the police commissioner of Reno 911 that you never saw.
I like it.
I think I'm telling you. By the way, I'm available to work on Cannonball Run.
I love this Reno 911 part.
It's kind
of
great.
they're the
you
cops.
Can get all meta. Right. I mean, you could have the people be. You know, if there wasn't rights issues, you could actually have the characters from their own universes all colliding in this.
Hollywood, let us punch up your Cannonball Run script because it's not going to be good.
Kevin Smith and Jay.
I think they'd be in the Batmobile.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, they steal the Batmobile from the Warner Brothers lot, and they take off in it. Perfect.
There you go.
I like it. You're hired. You're on. You're on the team, Corey.
Once they hire me,
I'm hiring you.
We can write this shit in a minute. They steal the Batmobile.
I love this Cannonball Run idea.
Well,
why not?
What is Pee-wee?
Why not?
I was just about to go there.
What about a team of paranormal investigators?
Oh, of course.
They're very hot. You could have them on Cannonball Run. Why not?
Yeah, Squatch Hunters.
Put together the original surviving members from the first Ghost Hunters show.
Mm. Okay.
You have Tracy the Gorilla.
Forrest Tucker.
Forrest Tucker's gone.
Oh, okay.
He's not with us
Storch
anymore.
Storch is still alive.
So you get Storch.
Now,
there.
I feel like we're neglecting Shatner. I don't know if Shatner's up for the full-on antics. Maybe
Shatner
he'll be,
and Chris Pine in a car?
Maybe Shatner will be like the chairman of the Cannonball Run. He'll be the guy who like launches them on the
Shatner
race.
Would be good because, you know, in the old ones, remember, was Jamie Farr was the sheik who put up the money in Cannonball Run 2. So you could have the guy who is sort of the
he's the Shatner's the money man.
Yeah,
he's the
backer. You need that guy. Yeah.
What if you have Shatner? What if the two judges are Shatner and Mark Hamill?
Okay, that's not bad.
Have you met Mark Hamill at a convention?
I haven't.
He seems like a decent guy. He seems
does
like
he probably. Do a lot of those?
Yeah.
Is he on that?
Because he's the voice of the Joker and he does a lot of voiceover stuff. That. And Shatner was nice when I met him that last year.
He was great in the Guyver.
Yeah. I did like Guyver.
You know, sadly, I've met all of the Star Trek originals except Shatner.
Shatner was great, but it was only because of the Columbo joke.
I met George Takei.
I almost fucked George Takei.
Yeah.
Takei.
He rubbed my leg a little too hard.
Takei means expensive.
Hello.
Japanese.
Hello, John.
Hi.
May I rub your leg, please? Okay.
It's irresistible. Oh, you can't stop doing that. We could put him in a car with Sean Hayes.
You could put him in. Why don't you put him and Charlie Sheen in a car together?
Put him and Jet Li together.
Well, I got to tell you, we got so many Asians that can't drive. It's going to be.
That's where the beginning. That's the beginning of the movie. All of the Asians immediately smash into each other, and they're out of the race.
All right, where do you put Zach Galifianakis in this movie? Shit. Where is he?
He could fit in there. Sure.
Where is he? Is he dating Rebel Wilson? Want to do that? Boy.
He consistently keeps showing up in other people's cars.
What about?
He's not with anyone.
Hold on.
He hitchhikes his way through the cannonball run.
We need someone real short to put with Shaq.
Robert Downey.
Kevin Hart and Shaq.
Kevin Hart and Shaq would be good.
That's the team right there.
Robert Downey Jr. and Shaq.
Yeah, right? Shaq could carry Kevin Hart around like Jerry Lewis. Like he could jump up in Shaq's arms. And like, actually, a regular sized man could carry Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like on Shaq, he'd look like a doll.
He would.
They could be, you know what? I want to see Shaq and Kevin Hart doing a ventriloquist act.
Okay.
Where Kevin Hart just pretends to be the dummy.
If you're going to go that extreme, why don't you take Dinklage and put him with Shaq?
Oh, well, that Dinklage. Would be, that's interesting.
Oh.
What about an all short people team? Dinklage and who's the other big midget of the day?
The big midget.
Who's the top midget now?
Who's the top midget?
The top dwarf.
Dinklage is like the number one.
He is the
midget.
Number one, and it's almost almost not even another one. But
he's the tallest midget.
Warwick Davis, maybe? I don't know. British American.
We don't do midget humor the way we used to, God damn.
No, it's no Billy Bardies anymore.
Billy Barty was the king of the midget.
He was king.
He was the best.
He was the highest midget.
The top midget.
He was the giant midget.
Biggest midget. that's your new reality, son. The biggest midget.
The giant midget.
A giant among midgets.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, you kind of need a midget.
I want you to cafe press that up.
I know.
But Paul Williams was kind of the midget guy.
He's still around.
And And Paul Williams was who was the buddy? Was it Pat McCormick? Who was his partner in all those? Yeah, it was,
I feel like all those kind of like goofball character actor like, you know, Pat Buttram and shit. Like, those guys are all gone.
They're kind of all gone, yeah.
You know what? When George Kennedy died, I thought, when's the last time America produced just a regular ham and egg eating beefy?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, that kind of guy. Oh, every actor now is like...
It's like John Goodman
Henry
or somebody.
Henry Cavill or some shit. Yeah, they're like British or they... Yeah, John Goodman is the... Yeah. Ooh.
John Goodman.
Wait, we need a role for John Goodman.
Well, could he be a Jackie Gleason-esque Smokey and the Bandit kind of Smokey?
Well,
Could John Goodman do that? I think he could
do that.
I think he could. Why not?
Oh, my God, there's so many... There's so many ways to go. We could just
I'm telling you. Well, let's send our ideas. We'll send a copy of this show over to the
Kevin
to
Smith.
Eaton Cohen.
Kevin Smith stealing the Batmobile writes itself. It's really right.
How about if I send this list, but instead of sending it to Eaton Cohen, I send it to Ethan Cohen, and then the Coen brothers make a really dark, dry, humorous, non-comedy version of Cannonball
Run. Francis McDormand in the Cannonball Run.
It's all the same people.
Yeah, it's all these people.
All the same people.
I like
that
it.
Could happen.
Oh.
Why not?
Where's Wiz Khalifa going to be?
Well,
in this
you
thing?
Know
I
where
know.
He'd be.
Or
with
T-Pain.
Yeah, you could have one of those guys.
Little John.
In there. Yeah, you could have. You could have T.I.
The Spice Girls van that drives by at the end.
Oh,
all right. Well, there you go.
Ooh, the Spice Girl.
Well, you could have Beckham and his Spice Girl wife.
Oh. Right, there you
There's
go.
There's a team. There's
and he's
team.
Always got to stop and kick a soccer ball every like
right?
every 10 minutes. He's got to have some shtick where he kicks a soccer ball.
Maybe he stops and maybe they have to stop and they have to do each other's hair for 20 minutes or something. They have
every
to...
time someone throws something at their car, he butts it back at the car.
I mean, there's a lot of potential here.
Man.
There's a lot. I mean, you know, it's... I mean, you got your black people, you got your chinks,
what
you got
about,
your whiteies. You got
too many crickets.
What
this
about
show.
Yeah,
this is what Trump has done to you.
What about putting Trump in the car because he's not going to be president?
Then
Team Trump.
He will be president.
He will be. Wait a minute, Tenney. Are you making a prediction?
I am.
Trump will be president.
Yes.
How does he get to become the president?
He will wrestle the nomination during the Republican
National
Convention.
So Ted Cruz, he will wrestle it from Ted Cruz.
He'll put it in a pile.
By the way, first of all, if it comes down to Ted Cruz and Trump, I'm voting for Trump.
How about
if it was only those two options? I think we'd all agree that Donald Trump is better than Ted.
Trump will end up winning.
Okay,
Ted Cruz.
So, but then who does he? The Democrats go with Hillary, and he beats Hillary some way. Does Hillary get indicted, and then they have to do a last minute Joe Biden replacement? Please, John Tenney, give us a scenario.
I like this.
The scenario is.
Joe Biden.
Clinton will get the nomination.
Okay.
There'll be a huge...
Bill and Hillary on the cannonball run.
There'll be a huge thing. That's a good one, too.
Bill gets to bang all the bimbos and then the Lamborghini.
It'll be Clinton. It'll be Clinton-Trump.
Clinton-Trump.
And Trump will win.
And Trump will win.
What about Emma Stone and Anna Kendrick driving the bookmobile?
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, halfway through...
Oh, yeah.
Then they pull their glasses off.
Slow down, Corey. Wait, hold on a minute.
They're, like, they're real nerdy.
Corey, hit the lights. I need to get...
You guys are supposed to do this when you're talking on the phone to each other.
Oh, we do, John. Don't worry about that.
Okay, so Emma Stone and Anna Kendrick are driving the bookmobile.
Yeah,
they're real
exactly.
nerdy.
Sure,
and
yeah.
They've got glasses. And then, like, halfway through, they realize that they're... Yeah. They take the glasses off and whip their hair around and realize
they get a Corvette or something.
Yeah.
I'm good for that. I like that. put me down for one of those.
Oh, good God.
So they realize they're gorgeous.
Yeah.
They pull their bookmobile over.
Right.
There's a hotel there.
Yeah.
They see a shiny red car that they're going to steal.
Right.
They jump in the car. They take off in this hot red car. And from out of the pool, screaming, come back with my car, is Phoebe Cates in a red bikini.
Yeah.
Wow.
That could work, too.
Look at this! Hollywood! Sign us up!
Fountain of ideas.
Here. We got to be better than what they're putting out.
You know what? My cast would probably be better than the actual Cannonball Run cast. But that's the thing is, you know, they
right
can't
now,
afford
Ethan
people.
Cohen is working on a script that involves a car that runs on farts.
Well, there's lots of ideas. You know, there's an article.
Where is David Spade driving the car that runs on farts?
What do you put with David Spade? You can't put Farley because he can't have Farley.
But. Andy Dick?
Kevin James is like
Kevin
the
James
new Farley.
Is the
can you put Andy Dick with David Spade?
Oh, that might be doubling down on blonde and faggy.
Yeah.
Aging.
Wow.
Aging midget comedians. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh my God!
What about John Lovitz and his wife?
Hold on. Oh,
there you go.
I want and I need Andy Dick in this movie.
You need Andy. Dick
I need
in this
Andy
movie.
Dick in this.
Corey
in
needs
this.
Some dick.
Yes, give me some dick. There was an episode of my wife watches house as we call it house porn. She watches like
House
all
Hunters
the
or something.
HGTV, all the Love It or Listed and House Hunters. She watches. That's like her comfort food, where she just goes to that and turns that shit on. And there was an episode of, they do celebrity house hunting.
Okay.
And they had one, they had Stephen Baldwin. And he was looking for like a ranch in upstate New York. And he's got like a.
He needs a place to build a 40-foot crucifix.
Yeah. But he's got some business where he cans pickles and peaches and stuff. So he wanted a barn to do this in. And I'm just like, Stephen Baldwin looked at these gigantic palatial mansions. And I went, Stephen Baldwin's got all this money.
Yeah.
Like, he hasn't made a movie since Biodome. But, and then Andy Dick looked at these fucking amazing Hollywood Hills homes.
He's talking about no money.
And he got this, like, 30,000-square-foot mansion with, like, you know, 8 bedrooms. And I'm just like, Andy Dick's got all this money?
Yeah, but do you think they really buy those houses on that show?
No.
No, I don't think they do.
But the celebrity house hunting, even worse than the regular.
Well, yeah, you can rent those homes, those Hollywood Hills homes.
There's a huge thing that I talked to my uncle once about, who lived in Los Angeles, and he said, like, obviously none of these people actually buy these houses.
I would think you're right, yeah.
It's like it's all this, like, tax write-off bullshit where, like, you get them. It's a $300 million house.
Yes.
You know, and you put $2 million down on it.
Yeah.
And then
you walk away
you
from
walk
it
away
at the end.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, that's
it's a rental.
Yeah,
another rental. For sure. Why not?
Although, I mean, there are guys that bought their house in 1975 and still have, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Like Johnny Carson had his mansion.
Somebody, you know, built the house, so yeah, they paid for it.
Yeah.
But I think they flip so quickly, no one ever pays off a 30-year mortgage on
it. It's always
$200
like
million house.
It's always like this was George Raft's home. Yeah, that they built in 1932.
But you do have those people that build, like, you know, you'll have whoever it is, like Jay-Z and Beyonce are building some, you know, mega $400 million house or whatever like that. But those seem to never end up being finished, Bill.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah, they never get finished.
And then, we just bought one in Georgia.
Yeah, then they buy another one.
Yeah.
Very interesting. But
what about David Spade and Nicolas Cage?
Okay.
How about that team?
What about Nicolas Cage as his character from that movie where he's the demon that drives a car to hell? Drive Angry, is that what it's called?
Yeah, or Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider.
Either one.
That
Ghost Rider.
Nick Cage would be good in this. Yeah, I like that.
How sad are we, speaking of we're going to get into comic book movies next, I think.
I think so. I think John's going to want a cigarette.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's take a break.
How long are we at right now? Wait a second.
We're about a little over an hour.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll have plenty of time to finish
up. Yeah, when
on
we
that
come
topic.
Back, Batman.
I was just going to say, how sad is it that we live in a world, John, where they've already made a Ghost Rider movie, and I almost forgot about it till just now.
Two, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah,
two
I know.
Ghost Rider.
Yeah. Like when we were kids, yeah. The idea of a Ghost Rider movie was so crazy and wild. And
I will say this again.
Oh,
the nerds have won.
Yes.
At what cost?
All right. Now, before we take
at what cost, Corey
before
Hall.
We take a break, let me, and I want to do this. I was you teased me.
Ooh, the Broad City Girls.
Okay.
Can we get them in the can we get them in the game?
They're like the Flight of the Conchords, guys. They got to take the subway.
Can we have the girls from Girls go
girls
over
from
a
girls?
Cliff and blow?
Yeah. All right. Tenney said this to me. He said, I'm going to a concert this summer. Corey, this is a question for you and I.
Yes.
He's going to a concert at the DTE Energy Music Theater. And we had to guess what it is. Now, I know they haven't announced a whole bunch of shows there.
Do you want to look up what's playing?
Yeah, I was
going to
say, if I look at the list, will that help me?
Yes.
But I'll you say I'll know right away.
Probably. Corey will know for sure.
Hmm. Let me look it up.
I'm going. I have not been to the DTE
Should
Music
Energy Theater.
Should we tease
this for after
the
break?
Nope, we can do this before we go.
All right.
I haven't been there in 15 years.
But I mean, but that's pretty mainstream act, so I'm wondering who you would even.
The last time I went to DTE, I think we got like was one of those like $3 tickets or something.
The last time I went to DTE, I saw Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons with the band Rare Earth opening.
Right.
That was probably
All right, I have the list. Let's go through. Don't jump on it yet, Corey. Okay.
Don't jump
on it. Okay. May 22nd, Dierks Bentley. It's not him. It's probably not Eddie Money. 21 Pilots. They're too young for you. It's not Dixie Chicks. It may be Steely Dan. Let's keep going. I'm looking at John's face.
I had
Steely
a much
Dan.
Longer conversation with Eddie Money than I ever wanted to.
Bare Naked Ladies with OMD and Howard Jones. That
Ooh.
Could be Tenney.
Ooh.
Okay. Florence and the Machine, Tenney raising his eyebrows on that one. Okay, it's the worst band of all time. Florida Georgia Line is playing there. And I would respect you if you went for the laughs and you went for the chuckles.
What if?
What I would respect
I
you
might
for that.
Go for the
Hold
laughs.
On, I would like you to apologize to Atlanta Rhythm Section for saying Florida Georgia Line.
No, Florida Georgia Line. We played it on the show. It's country.
Florida Georgia Line?
Yeah, do you know
yeah,
what that
so,
is?
Yeah,
it's like country music
out
with,
and cruise.
It's
right?
It's like it's, country music with like
with
rap. Oh
yeah.
My God, it's
yeah.
terrible.
Yeah, it's
okay, Jimmy Buffett. It's not Jimmy Buffett. Bad Company and Joe Walsh. I might go to Bad Company and Joe Walsh, but I don't know if you would. You're not going to Keith Urban. You're not going to Steve Miller Band. I don't think Zach Brown Band. You're not going to that. Okay, Brand New and Modest Mouse. We're getting hot. No, not for Tenney.
Don't think so.
Weezer and Panic at the Disco.
John.
If Dead
John,
and Company.
If John
the Grateful
wanted
Dead
to see
guys.
Weezer, he would have seen him.
Okay. Duran Duran. Heart with Joan Jett and the Blackhearts and Cheap Trick.
I would go to that.
Yeah, I might go to that too. Def Leppard with REO Speedwagon and Tesla.
I've seen at least two of those bands, I think.
Daryl Hall and John Oates.
They've announced a lot more
yeah,
since
I
the
realize.
Last time I looked.
You're not going to Dave Matthews. You're not going to Disturbed and Breaking Benjamin.
I might buy tickets to Hall & Oates, though.
Lynyrd Skynyrd and Peter Frampton.
Holy shit. No. That's a new announcement. Okay. I would go and see the Frampton.
Slipknot with Marilyn Manson.
That is not happening.
Okay. Boston with Styx.
Oh, that's,
it's
that's
Dennis DeYoung.
You know what? I would kind of go.
That's something, too.
It's Dennis DeYoung and the Music of Styx. It's not
that's
the actual
fine,
Styx,
man.
But that's fine. Journey and the Doobie Brothers.
Oh, fucking. Fuck. What are these shows coming from?
Josh Groban.
I had no
idea. Oh, my God.
I Love the 90s Tour with Salt-N-Pepa, Vanilla Ice, Tone Loc, Coolio, and Rob Bass.
You know what?
Yes, we have our winner.
First of all, those bands play at the Royal Oak Arts Beats every year.
Hank Williams Jr. and Chris Stapleton, Rob Zombie,
You've
and
already
Korn,
passed my show.
Darius Rucker and Black Sabbath.
You've already passed my show.
Ah, fucking fuck.
Wait, Darius Rucker isn't playing with Black Sabbath.
No, that's different. Darius Rucker is not with Black Sabbath.
I would be
You're
like,
correct.
That would be weird.
I'm going with. God, do I go Steely Dan or do I go Florence and the Machine? There's some chick that could talk him into going Florence and the Machine.
Probably.
Corey. Yeah, that might have to be the guess.
That has to be the angle.
But you're not going Brand New Modest Mouse? for Tenny.
I feel like, again, these are bands you
that Tenny would have seen. All right, I'm going with Steely Dan. Corey, you got a guess?
In
let Corey guess.
Well, he just said he would go to Hall & Oates. I'm trying to think. That's tough. I'm
would he have bought tickets for like his parents or something to go?
Nope, I'm going because I
You're
want
going
to go.
Going because you want to go.
I'll give you a hint.
Duran Duran?
I'll give you a hint.
Yeah.
I'm going because shit.
That fucking
years?
Boston and Sticks show. I'm kind of into that.
Because almost 30 years ago, I saw this performer at DTE when it was Pine Knob.
You probably, the Steve Miller Band.
So I'm going.
I went and saw Steve
Miller.
This
will be a almost 30 year return to something I saw when I was 17 years old.
I saw Steve Miller. I saw Eddie Money when I was a teenager. Those guys were playing.
I was 16, so it will be 30 years.
Well, then I guess I'm not saying. Well, I guess you could have saw Steely Dan 30 years ago. Fuck.
Steely Dan?
Are you ready?
Jimmy Buffett?
I am going to see Howard Jones.
Oh, all right. Well, let's see. I almost went with that, but yeah. you're not going for Bare Naked Ladies.
Well, I'm not going for Bare Naked Ladies or OMD.
That's why I went with the Duran Duran, because I thought eighties music might be.
I'm going for Howard Jones.
You're going for Howard Jones.
30 year into the last time I saw it was 86.
Okay.
The Dream Into Action tour.
Well, I would.
Was Thomas Dolby on the undercard of that?
No, it was straight Howard Jones, I believe, with his mime, Jed Hoyle.
First of all, Howard Jones has never been straight.
Come on now.
That's okay. Look, I went to I saw Depeche Mode at DTE.
I would go see Depeche Mode.
You know what would be great is if Manny Shields was opening for Howard
Jones.
Inside baseball.
That's way too inside. All right, we're going to take a break. John's going to have a cigarette and hopefully another drink. We're going to talk all about Batman v Superman. Me and Corey went on opening night. John Tenney seen it as well. And John Tenney will give us inside information about what it's like to be on the set of Batman v Superman, because he was on it.
That's
right. We'll talk about it.
IMDb credit for it.
Yeah. Did you really?
Yeah.
Well, that's because you're already on IMDb.
Right.
You or John Tenney?
It was me.
Did you have to tell the producers that you're not John Tenney?
Metropolis. That's why I have to use EL in my
name. Exactly. Because when you're in credits of something. Okay.
So I have to.
All right. We'll be back. Batman v Superman next. All right, so we're back with Joel Radio here. We're going to talk Batman v Superman. Corey and I went. Apparently everyone went to this.
Yes.
It seems
made
like.
Made huge money,
although people went. And what was the Onion article? I'm trying to remember the Onion headline where, like, couple goes to Batman, Superman says, hey, let's get this over with or something.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. People wanted to see it.
Yes.
Just to see what it was. Yes. More than, hey, we're going to go in and really enjoy this. There are people who gave it good reviews. I think that, what is the Rotten Tomatoes? In the 30s on that, I think, Corey, right now?
Let's take a look.
Batman v Superman. So it didn't do great,
it did great money.
But critically,
which is
not
all that matters in Hollywood these days.
Well, and it's also that this is the beginning of the DC Universe series of films. 10 movies in 4 years.
Mm-hmm. 10 too many.
including Batman v Superman, apparently. But
it's sitting in at a hot 28%.
Oh God, it's gone down over the weekend. Okay,
rot.
It did not do well critically. For my personal review is, if you're into Batman and Superman, if you're into DC Comics, you should at least go to the movie.
Now, audience score is 72%.
Okay, which sounds maybe more amongst people that would be willing to go opening weekend. Again, here's how I ended up going with Corey was I was on Twitter, and there's a guy I follow on Twitter that like gives like video game deals, and he gives you like, so he had a thing about if you have Verizon wireless, if you went to this webpage that was promoting Batman v Superman and you put in your wireless number, they would send you a Fandango code. Where you then go to Fandango, you'd enter the code and you'd get 2 free tickets for the showing of your choice, Batman v Superman.
Look at that.
And I said, Corey, do you want to go to Batman v Superman? I'm going to get these tickets. And he said, all right. So I picked out a showing and we paid a surtax for 3D.
Right.
And then we paid the Fandango fee and it cost $6 for the two of us to go combined. So it was $3 each to go to Batman v Superman in 3D at the Star John R in a big electrically powered reclining chair.
I went to MJR Theater on Saturday at 5 o'clock and it was sold out.
Oh.
So I went Sunday at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
220 seats available.
Okay. Well, that's good.
So three.
I think everybody
$5.50 for my ticket.
People win Thursday,
now,
Friday, Saturday.
Now Star Wars ended up playing for months.
It did, yes,
and did well. It continued to do well.
This will not play for months.
This will dive off the.
It probably will, but I mean, I didn't feel like. First of all, the movie is very slow, very plotting. My biggest problem, I think, with it was sort of the tone of the world. You know, it's trying to, unlike the Marvel movies, which sort of take place in their own universe, this movie is trying to take place in contemporary America of 2016 with terrorism threats and all these things. And to me, that just doesn't work for a superhero movie. I was really sort of taken aback by that. And I go, especially in the wake of the Brussels thing that we had last week, it's like, man, it's just, it's too gloomy. It's too, you know, it's dark.
Okay, but you're right. It's horrible.
Yeah.
The tone is...
Yeah, the tone is terrible.
Depressing, bleak, dreary. And I thought the whole fucking point of Superman was that he stops the terrorists before they blow up the bomb.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
That's what Superman always
And you see
was.
Him do that in the film, but, you know, they also come up with, well, Superman's a bad guy because he's an alien and... He has powers that we can't stop, and we need to get the weapons. You know, that's the whole Lex Luthor story, is Lex Luthor needs to get this weapon in case other people,
metahumans,
Kryptonians come down or whatever. And so there is this real-life terrorism thing that they've woven into the DC plot. Now, I read a blind item today. Corey doesn't like my blind item site, but when I go to this blind item site, their thing was that, you know, this franchise is getting such poor reception that one of the top stars may take over the series. And what they're hinting at is that Affleck may end up directing
one
of these.
That would be immediately better. I mean, not that Affleck's the best director, but he's made two decent movies.
But Zack Snyder's made
Argo and the Town were both credible movies.
But now, you know, Zack Snyder made Man of Steel, and now he's made Batman v Superman
and Watchmen. Justice.
And well, Watchmen was pretty good, but it wasn't in the DC universe. But I'm saying
Watchmen, that was the tone to begin with of that book.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
Series had that.
It feels
tone.
Like they brought the Watchmen tone over to this movie, which it doesn't work in that. Thing,
no, because Watchmen is a critique of superheroes.
Yes.
It was written as a critique or deconstruction of.
This movie, Batman vs. Superman, is a clusterfuck on so many different levels.
Yes. By the way, like, we can avoid spoilers for a couple minutes, and then we'll tell people when we're going to spoil it. Is that okay?
No, spoiler right now.
No, I mean, here's the thing. Okay. I was talking to Corey about this really quickly on the phone.
Yeah.
This is an older Batman.
Yes.
Now, when they show Martha his mother's grave.
Yes.
Batman's mother's grave.
Yes.
She dies in 1981.
Okay.
And I would say that he's probably 10 or 11 when she dies.
Okay.
That means that this older Batman is my age.
He's 40-year-old Batman.
40-year-old Batman.
Right, and Robin is dead in
this
movie.
But I'm saying, like,
spoilers.
That's not an older Batman to me.
No, to you, Batman. Batman was always 40.
Yeah, of course. He's an adult. He's an adult. He's an adult man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
So this is not an older Batman. Yeah. And so it's played as if he's this older, wiser, grizzled, like Batman, but the reality is he's maybe only been Batman for 20 years.
Well, they give Batman the history.
He says to Alfred,
"It's 20 years.
20 years of doing this.
Yeah, 20 years.
And
of doing
so
this.
He started in the 90s.
Yeah.
So that's not. And I was telling Corey, Jeremy Irons should have played Batman.
Well,
I mean, I want a 60.
If they're
going to
make
Batman.
These Batman movies with Affleck for 10 years, I guess
he'll
be
look
an
like
old
Jeremy
guy.
Irons,
yeah. But, you know, they give Batman a backstory.
Of course.
You know, they have to. And so, you know,
show
something happened
again.
With the Joker killed Robin.
Don't we all know?
Stately Wayne Manor has been burned to the ground.
Haven't we seen the shit with Batman's parents getting killed 100 times?
Yes.
Do we need to see the bit with the mugger and the pearls?
You do again? Because you do because otherwise all of Batman's actions are out of context. You need to see that when
the
you
entire
introduce
movie
Batman.
Is
how about
out of context?
How about this? He's Batman.
Yeah.
He's been around for 70 years. We know the story.
Well,
that frustrates the shit out of me.
That does.
And I think what the Marvel movies have now done is they've gotten through all that.
Yeah.
And they're now in a point where they
well,
don't
but
have
but
to
but Christopher
that.
Nolan's Batman's got past that. They made Batman Begins with all of that stuff. Then they made Dark Knight, which everybody loved, which was, you know, the story of the Joker and Batman. Dark Knight Rises, not as successful, but still pretty good for a comic book movie, I thought. So I mean, they did
I hated
that.
Batman Rises,
Dark Knight Rises.
Dark Knight Rises.
Well, it was
terrible.
Okay.
That was terrible.
I thought the first half
was it not better than Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
So it was okay.
This movie is this. I'm sorry. This movie is a fucking disaster. Well, it's edited like garbage.
Yeah.
There are no. I don't think Zack Snyder knows what a fucking establishing shot is, because I am constantly thrown into a close up of people in a place where I don't know where they're at, what's going on.
It has about six intros. The beginning of the movie starts. It has about six beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
There's no actual momentum. The editing is choppy. The story is incoherent. It's, you know, obviously.
Well, the beginning of the movie is the end of Man of Steel, though, right? Just seen from Bruce Wayne's perspective?
Yeah, they retcon the entire Man of Steel thing because people were pissed off about how Man of Steel was. Yeah.
Here come the spoilers.
All right, here they come. In earnest.
Bruce Wayne has some kind of, okay, now Gotham and Metropolis are across the river.
Yeah, that one.
Which I've never.
I've never heard of that.
Never done that.
Never done.
Yeah. They've never done that in the history
of. Detroit is nowhere close to New York.
Right.
And that's how I've always thought of it.
I always thought Gotham was Chicago.
I always thought.
And Metropolis was New York.
They were two different cities.
Yes.
Okay.
And
Gotham was the more industrial of the
two. I always thought that Gotham was Detroit and Metropolis was New York.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I've never once had them depicted as being next door to each other or across the lake.
You can't see the bat signal from Metropolis.
Right.
Yeah. Which you can in this movie.
So Gotham and Metropolis are across the bay from each other. It's like Oakland and San Francisco.
Something like that, yeah.
That made no sense. And then it's just all choppy and a mess.
It's a mess. How is Lex? There's so much to dive into. First of all, the fact that Lex Luthor is the foil to Batman in this movie.
Mm-hmm,
It's Lex Luthor is very unconcerned with Superman.
What it seemed like they did and what they should have done is had the Joker and Lex Luthor, but then you have another character in there.
Right.
So Lex Luthor acts kind of like the Joker, has sort of the same personality.
I'm convinced because I did work on this, and you guys know this.
We'll talk about that shortly, yeah.
But I'm convinced from what I saw, from what I filmed, and what was on the screen when I watched it, that they did massive rewrites on the script.
I think they did, yeah.
They cut tons of shit out that no one will. There is going to be a 6-hour Blu-ray of this.
Well, they're doing an R-rated director's cut with lots more footage.
Yes, they have to.
But they shot this movie in 2014 here in Detroit, right?
Yep.
So I mean, they had a full year of post-production on this, more than a year of post-production.
Yes. Right.
And I know that I think it was penciled in for some time last year, and then they pushed
it
back to the spring. So I mean, they definitely worked on it, and you know, probably for the better. Let's be honest. I mean, not that this is a great movie, but probably for the better. But again, I think if you're a fan of Batman and Superman, you got to at least go. And part of me
you have to go and see Superman and Batman
fight. But part of the reaction to this, and I know Corey was fighting with guys on Facebook about this. Guys are saying, oh, Batman versus Superman was okay. And Corey was going, it's garbage, garbage, garbage. You guys don't know what a good movie is if it bit you in the nuts.
Well,
that was kind of your point. It was they people don't know movies.
My point was that there were a lot of guys who were like, there's this instant gut reaction that goes, well, I don't care what the critics say. What do the critics know? Why would the critics hate it. And my point is, the same guys that say that don't ever actually comment about a movie. You know, they're never on there going, I loved The Master.
Well,
what an incredible movie that was. They don't talk about the art.
But part
they
of,
don't ever know. They
part
only
of
want
me
popcorn.
Feels like this. When you're going to be cranking out the Marvel movies or the DC movies at the rate that they're doing, this is what you're going to get. And I think that comic book fans and DC fans, what they're saying to you, in a sense, or what they're saying to the masses is, this is what you're giving us, and we're okay with it. We're going to go, and we're going to go to these. We just want the Batman movie. We don't care if it's good or not. I mean, we'd like it to be good. If you can make it good, that's great. If you can't make it, we'll still consume it. We will consume anything with those characters in it. We're in for life. We're hardcore. This is us.
And
this is our thing. This is what we're going to do. You keep making them. We'll keep going. Doesn't really matter if they're good or not.
John and I have been friends for many years because we share a lot of the same, you know, John and I have a lot of the same interests.
We like comic books. We have a lot of the same interests. We like all of our nerdy stuff.
So I feel like everything in my head, John, is in John's head. But honestly, I think, you know, after I've been reading comic books since I could read. And I have inhaled it and hung out at the comic book stores. And I've been a film critic for 15 years. So I feel like if anybody was an audience for a movie about comic books, it's me. And I'm sick of these things.
Yeah, but it's...
They're killing me.
They're,
and this one particularly is a bad movie. I'm past the point in my life where I think what it is it's a religion.
And yeah, kind of.
There are these guys that go,
they're true believers,
right.
Yeah.
I will watch whatever Batman
absolutely.
Is in. I am a Batman fanatic, mm-hmm. and they get excited and they get that childhood thrill. I'm past all that.
Yeah.
I still like the characters because I know it all, and I have all that backstory in my head and all the universe and all that stuff is still, I like.
Here's my little take on it. I was a Superman kid when I was growing up. I liked Superman.
Yeah.
When I read a comic book that has Superman in it, mm-hmm. that's bad.
Okay.
A poorly written or poorly illustrated Superman comic book.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I don't have to like it because it's Superman.
But will you read the next Superman comic book?
It depends.
Okay.
And maybe not that story arc.
Okay, all right.
Maybe I'll wait for them to bring in an artist.
Right.
And I know that there are guys who do polls, pull every Superman book that comes out.
Okay.
And they love it, no matter how much garbage it is.
Yeah, just they love it.
Because it's a belief system, like Corey said.
Well, then.
But you do have the right to say, this Superman is good, this Superman is garbage.
Sure.
This movie is good, this movie is garbage.
You have the right to say that, but people that have the opinion that it's good are still entitled to that opinion.
Absolutely.
They're not entitled to be beaten up by a critic.
You're entitled to have your opinion.
I was just punching back because there was a lot of grief about...
But here's the thing.
What do critics know about a Batman Superman?
You know what? Everyone's allowed to have their opinion. But again, we go back to that argument of what facts are you allowed? The facts are, this is a poor
I agree with you.
It's choppy.
It's edited poorly. The dialogue is fucking disastrous.
Well, there's
almost no dialogue.
There's not much in it. Yeah. Well, look,
the special effects aren't even that great.
Look, I've never liked, as a guy who's never liked comic books themselves, and with the movies, I'm very hit and miss. I enjoyed Watchmen. I enjoyed Christopher Nolan's Batman movies. I enjoyed Richard Donner's Superman movie. But generally, you know, I thought this was better than The Last Avengers. I thought this was better than Age of Ultron. To me, the action made sense at the end. I could follow what was happening, and I thought that was better.
Age of Ultron was way overrun.
Yeah, Age of Ultron
was
not
too
great.
Long.
Yeah.
Although I think, in general, the stuff that's good in that is better than what's good in this.
Well, here's what I get.
I think Age of Ultron is a better made film.
To me, the Marvel movies are getting the in-between action sequence stuff right. They're getting the tone, they're getting the characterizations down, but I felt like in this movie, and I didn't see Man of Steel, so I can't base it on that, but between the Nolan movies and this, I feel like the action is getting done more right in the DC movies.
I thought that in this movie, I thought these fight scenes were unwatchable.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know they were doing that thing again where, give me perspective, to look at two men in close frame shot and just see arms coming up. The Batman fight scene near the end of the movie where he's going after Martha.
Yeah.
I thought was a disaster of a fight scene.
See, no, we and Corey both liked that.
I hated that scene.
That felt like old Batman to me. It was Batman beating up a room full of guys.
No, I think
the fight with Superman and Batman, I'm with you.
I think that fight scene where he's saving Martha at the end was actually done better in the first couple episodes of Daredevil on Netflix where he's fighting guys in a hallway.
Well, that show's good.
That's a much better fight scene than that one I watched.
I haven't seen that either.
Daredevil's good and it has a human scope.
Yeah.
Nothing Daredevil does is like... He might do a somersault or a cartwheel or something, you know, but nothing he does is ridiculous.
Right.
In this, it's when Batman and Superman are fighting, it's just throwing one guy through the rubble. You know, it's just exchanging piles of rubble. They're just smashing through, and that gets real old real quick. The scene where Batman takes down the guys that have his mother, or Clark's mother.
Yeah.
That was good because I could actually follow it. It was like a fight scene.
It was a regular martial arts scene. I think it was a terrible fight scene. It was the best fight scene in the movie, but it's still a terrible fight scene.
Well, look, I think when
watch a fight scene from the fucking Raid. We know how to do these types of fights.
Yeah, that's true. No, I'm with you on that.
And then, all right, this is all spoilers, so it's fuck it. The party's over. Okay, when Doomsday shows up, for what reason did Lex Luthor create an unstoppable Kryptonian monster?
No idea.
Like, he's like, you know what? Fucking Superman's the worst.
No idea.
We're all at the mercy of Superman. Let's make a completely incoherent, evil monster that is harder to control than Superman.
Right.
And then that thing could have been cool, But all it does is shoot like crazy lightning out of it the whole time. So it's just a big swirl.
It looked like a giant
dust and lightning.
It looked almost exact. I mean, the character design looked like one of the
Lord of the Rings.
It looked like the Uruk-hai from Lord of the Rings.
Absolutely.
That's exactly what I was thinking. It looked exactly
That's what
like
I thought too.
It had no neck and a very big sort of head, boxy head.
And the other thing is too with this film because you didn't see Man of Steel.
No.
There was a lot of backlash about how many innocent civilians were killed.
Okay, yeah.
In this movie there are countless times where they say that's an empty island.
Yeah.
All the civilians have been moved out.
Everybody leave Metropolis.
Yeah, everybody's out of Metropolis
now.
The
skyscraper's falling at the beginning of the movie in Metropolis.
Right.
You know?
Well, that's all from Man of Steel.
That's all from Man of Steel.
Batman's kill count is over 30.
Oh, it's huge.
Of people he kills, because the Batmobile, he's just driving around shooting Gatling guns off the Batmobile.
Yeah, yeah, killing people
and
blowing people up.
And then he's just killing guys.
Yeah.
Like, how many guys do you think he killed in those fight scenes by flipping their cars over and blowing guys? And the one guy he shoots with an M60 and kills a guy he blows up the fire extinguisher on his backpack.
It drags a car around for a quarter of a mile so he can flip it over on top of another car.
Yeah, Batman's just straight up killing guys.
Well, look, I don't have a problem with that if it's done well. I mean, I know Batman generally doesn't kill
people. This is not done well, though.
Well, it's not done well, but again, I think that the movie, for
30,
most fans...
30 minutes of this movie are dream sequences.
No, you're right. Well, apparently
for
those,
no reason.
Well, apparently that no.
Well,
let me say those will be in future.
That's all.
Those are premonitions,
right.
And those will be elements that are in future.
Avengers did that too, where they were dream sequences.
Yeah,
and that didn't work either.
Yeah,
but at least the one where like Captain America was talking to Agent Carter or whatever was an okay scene.
Yeah,
these were bad scenes.
Well,
another scene where Batman's shooting guys with machine guns.
Well, look, my feeling is when you get to these superhero movies and you look at the source material of all comic books is a mess. The action, generally speaking, takes place in the reader's mind more than it does on the page anyway.
Right.
So there's only so much you can do to make these good. And when you're going to say, you know, 20 years ago or whatever, why has no one made a Batman movie in 30 years before they made, you know, before Tim Burton made his? Because you couldn't make them well. And now that they feel like they figured out how to make them well and you're going to get this deluge of them, they're going to end up more like the comic books where people are going to go, yeah, I'm not really into that. Or I like that one. I didn't like this one. That this is par for the course when you make this many movies.
The problem is, and this is the difficulty I have understanding comic book movies in whole, which is comic books are narrative driven. They are story driven.
Yes.
They are storybooks.
Yes.
When they're translated onto screen, they have to be turned into stories. They have to be turned into scripts and screen written.
Mm-hmm.
How are you not? You have source material from 30 fucking years.
You do, yeah.
How to drive the narrative of these stories, yeah. And you can't fucking do it?
So in this case, they took parts of The Dark Knight, which is Frank Miller's comic
and Death
book.
Of Superman.
Yes. They jammed up two stories that didn't go together.
Yeah.
Frank Miller's Dark Knight ruined comic books. It came out in 1986.
Yes.
It was this like alternate future dystopia where Batman was an old guy.
60 years old.
And was coming out of retirement
for
one last go. And then he gets real violent and kills the Joker. And Batman is Superman's a tool of the government. And Batman, you know, so it had all of this stuff and it was like a satire. And that was so crazy edgy at the time in 86. And everybody loved it. And they've gone down this road of trying to emulate that in all aspects of the comic books. DC
now you can't make Batman without making that Frank Miller Batman.
But here's
that's become the default Batman versus the gray suited Batman.
The whole Batman armor, that's from Dark Knight,
exactly.
Where he fights. That scene where they fight is based
on. But this movie is just a fucking disaster.
I want to be funny about this, but we're mad.
I am mad. That fucking guy from Wayne Enterprises who's in a wheelchair. Right?
Okay.
Who ends up, spoilers, right? Who ends up blowing up the fucking
There's
building
a guy
with Holly
Superman
Hunter, right?
Lost.
That guy has more fucking screen time than Alfred.
Well, is it
who the fuck is that guy? Who cares?
This is ostensibly supposed to be the sequel to Superman.
Right.
But Superman is kind of stands around being a dope and doesn't have a lot to do.
There's a first scene in that movie where there's some women down in a basement. and Batman has branded the guy, and yes, there's two cops looking around right. The one cop who finds the girl in the basement, and then I started paying attention. He's got 3 fucking minutes of camera time. An unknown cop walking around a building. I'm like, when does this fucking movie start? I'm watching. I'm watching an extra.
Yeah, I know. What
walk
you mean.
Around for 3 minutes.
You're watching
minutes.
A day player do. Yeah. Do. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a pointless scene.
But okay. I'm just not. I agree with you, but I'm not mad about it. And my feeling is this is
I'm
what
not,
the.
I'm
this
not mad
is
about it. It's just a clusterfuck.
Well. And but then, that's what these are going to be.
And then,
you can't have the expectation that these are all going to be great. They're not.
Well, this one was particularly not great. How about when Costner's ghost shows up and talks
I
got a hero cake, and then
that
I went out and I plowed the fields.
How about when the Flash runs so fast he can get in your dreams?
Well, there's...
Yeah, because the Flash kind of shows up, and you don't really know who he is or what that,
nope.
that's all.
And he's running into a dream.
Right.
Yeah,
he's from the future, but he's in Batman's dream.
Good God, is this thing a
hot
butter
dream?
How come Lex Luthor is the one to name superheroes and give them their logos?
That was stupid.
I had to lean over to Corey.
They're gonna use Lex Luthor's logos.
I had to lean over to Corey and ask who the one superhero was because I didn't know who it was. I still don't know who it is.
What? Cyborg?
Cyborg. Oh, Cyborg. I didn't know what Cyborg.
Well,
I didn't know
Cyborg is in the
was.
Movie because they need a black guy.
Okay. Well,
and they were like,
what Cyborg.
And
who do we
America
have?
Loves Brother from Another Planet, so they had to get Joe Morton in there.
Right. Cyborg is...
Well, I leaned over to Corey. I go, you know that scientist is good because he made the chip that was in the Terminator.
Right. That's exactly. Right.
Same guy.
Google, for your listeners, Google Brother from Another Planet.
Yeah, I know Brother good. From Another
Fine.
Planet.
He's got an extra toe.
Yeah.
Cyborg is like in the comic, he's in Teen Titans. So he's like not even in the Justice League. He's like Robin's friend. And
Aquaman's got glowing eyes.
But they were like, DC realized they didn't have any black characters. And
yeah.
So they were like, we got Cyborg. He's black. Put him in the movie. And so that's really what that is, right?
You've got
tokenism.
Aquaman is Conan underwater.
Oh, well, that's.
That was weird.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Wonder Woman was bad in this. I was not a fan of her at all.
I wasn't a huge fan.
I mean, I know she's supposed to be from a Greek island, but, I mean, like, can you get a woman that speaks English?
Well, she's not a very good actress.
Can you get a woman? I mean, seriously. She was like, at one point she says,
That's going to be a whole film you don't enjoy.
Oh, I know. She was like, well, I have been around for 100 years, and I leaned over to Corey and I go, then why can't she speak English?
Yeah. Okay, that's the other thing. I'm okay with the Greek thing.
I'm fine with it.
Okay.
She's traditionally, that's what she is an Amazon.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that, but you're right. She's been in America. And the whole
You're going to watch a whole movie of her talking like that?
No. And they do fuck up everything. Okay, Wonder Woman in the Linda Carter show and in the comic books comes to Earth during World War II.
Yes.
Okay, or comes to, man's world.
Yeah.
She's from Paradise Island. And she comes to man's world during World War II. In the fucking movie, there's a still shot of her and Chris Pratt, and it says 1918.
Yeah,
they're
going to
set it in World War
One. Well,
right. They're
going
to blow that, too.
They don't want to be Captain America, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, well.
They don't want to fight Nazis.
Nobody wants a World War One movie.
Well, they're going to get
never,
one.
Has World War One movies ever
Have I mentioned that this worked? Batman versus Superman is a fucking disaster movie?
All right, let's talk about
John's role in this disaster.
Yeah, you were in this. You were an extra on this for
shot
how many?
For 3 days.
3 days.
Three scenes.
Now, here's what John told me. John told me this 2 years ago, like the day you shot this, the day after you go, I went to a scene. He goes, do you want to know the scene I was in? It's going to ruin it for you, maybe. I go, I don't know. You're like, I was at Superman's funeral, and Ben Affleck was there as Bruce Wayne hiding out.
Henry Cavill
was there as Clark Kent hiding out.
Yes.
Okay. Now, that's been excised from the movie.
Yes.
Now, were you at the Superman funeral or the Clark Kent funeral?
I was at Superman's funeral.
Okay.
You see it at the end of the film.
Yeah, but the Superman funeral seemed like it was sort of just
but
a narrative.
The shot that I am,
you see in the
movie.
Mm-hmm.
But they I don't know if they edited it and cropped it tight, but you only see the Superman placard on the ground and some people standing around it.
And that's but you were in that group?
I'm in that group, and so is Henry Cavill.
Okay, Henry Cavill.
So they originally shot this scene as a pullback. Where there's a bunch of people surrounding
Superman fake dies.
And basically. Superman fake dies. Yeah. And Clark Kent is there. And I was assuming that's the reveal where you go, oh.
But they didn't show that in the
he's
movie.
Still alive.
They don't show that at all.
Yeah, I assumed you were at the Clark Kent funeral because there were a bunch of guys in trench coats following the casket.
That would have made sense.
And I go, well, that looks exactly like Tenney. Any of those guys could be Tenney.
Now, the other scenes that I shot, so that scene isn't in the movie.
Okay, yeah.
The other scene that I shot is a crowd of people outside learning that Superman has died.
Okay.
That's not in the film.
Okay.
And then the first scene that we
shot.
Who
was announcing the Superman? How do you know that Superman died?
It's the mayor of the city. Okay, mayor of Metropolis.
Okay, and the mayor of Metropolis is actually a lady I know named Leslie Love.
Yes.
Who's a comic and stuff, who used to do comedy. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, she and played that, and she's completely cut out of the movie.
Yep, and the first scene I shot...
But Jay Towers is in the movie.
Well, there's
the first scene that I shot was with her, too.
Okay.
Which is, there's a scene where she and a bunch of residents and citizens and children are at the unveiling of the Superman statue.
Okay, yeah.
And she explains that behind it are the names of all the people who died in his battle with Zod. And then there's all these children wearing Superman shirts who are the survivors of that great battle.
Okay.
And they unveil the statue and we all cheer. That scene's totally fucking gone. Out of
I like that Michael Shannon came in and
laid on a table.
And laid on a table for 2 days.
Yeah, I was almost thinking, boy, like maybe they could have just got a guy.
Well, they did.
And puts
because
is it not Michael Shannon?
No, it's
then?
Michael Shannon for real in on the slab, and then they show him a couple times as a corpse. And then when Luthor goes to put him into the slime that the Ghostbusters
it's
2
like
used,
a mold of anything.
You know, in the psychoreactive slime.
Right.
It's like a body mold. It's a mannequin because
they
drop it in the water.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's Shannon. I mean, they needed the Zod.
Have you seen the leaked scene that Warner Brothers released like 2 days ago?
No, and it's for what, the director's cut or something?
It's a scene of Luthor, and he's in the muck with the body.
Yeah.
Talking to some weird thing.
And he tells it, give me all the knowledge that you have. Because it says, you know, we have the contained knowledge of 100,000 worlds.
Yes.
And he says, give me the knowledge you have. And then there's another flash dream brain sequence where Luthor sees this giant figure that looks to be holding what are, I think, are mother boxes, which are these boxes used
God,
to
we know all this shit in and out.
Right?
Okay.
So what's going on is they're copying everything from Marvel's movies.
Yes.
So what in Marvel's movies, they've been building up for 5 movies now with the Guardians of the Galaxy and the Last Avengers to Thanos, who is this character that's a cosmic character that wants to destroy the universe because he's in love with death. And so in DC, they're using Darkseid, who was basically came out slightly before Thanos. They're kind of the same character.
So they're bringing in these super unkillable supervillains.
It's like like when they brought in Zeus in WWF.
Yes,
he was the unstoppable.
Yes,
you know, super overvillain. Or like the giant.
There's
machine.
So much missing from this Batman Superman.
It's
movie.
Really just a chopped up fucking.
Like it really is. It was really hard for me to watch. An hour in, I was like, I gotta get the fuck out of here.
It's like a bag of turkey giblets.
Doesn't it get better towards the end though? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, the second.
I agree.
Second half is better.
By the end, I was actually enjoying watching it.
I know. No, as honestly as I can say.
Yeah.
I at about an hour in. Was like, the only reason I am here is to see if I'm in this movie.
Well, you know what? After the movie, when I left, I said...
I was like, I don't care if I see the end of this, but I might be in the end of this.
There was a point when I said, if I was giving this like a numerical scale from like 1 to 10, it would have been a 0. There was a point when I was not enjoying it at all. And part of it is that this movie, it wants to fake that Superman's really the bad guy.
Right.
There's all these like fake layers. And once those are all sort of stripped away... And you get down to, okay, the characters are now aligned. Lex Luthor's the bad guy. Ma Kent is actually alive. Then I felt like the movie could have fun because it finally revealed itself for
but
what it is.
I felt like
once all those things were stripped away,
you know
it was
what should have what would have happened in a good movie? All of that would have happened in the end when they get together and fight, and they would have been like, "Hey, you're here too." Like,
well,
and
but you know,
didn't
the way this movie plays, though, and the way that you talk about, like, it's dark and kind of joyless. Like, there's that montage of Superman doing when he rescues people off the farm
or the flood.
It's sad.
It's morose.
It's like, this isn't, he's not doing great things. He's floating in the sky. Like, don't float slowly in slow motion
like
over
Jesus.
There's 100 people. Like, show him speeding and saving every single person.
He's super
show him
Jesus.
Flying. I don't know what was so important about him catching the rocket that blew up. Were there people inside of it? Was there a missile on the top of it? I don't know why that was important at all to show him, and he struggles and it's heavy. Who the fuck cares? Why is this not happy? Why am I not happy? Superman is doing great things.
How? Okay, just think about the Richard Donner Superman. How fucking great is that? In that movie, they show him like, you know, rescuing a cat out of a tree.
Yeah,
and they do the same montage, but he like saves kids a bus that's going off a bridge,
right.
And so, like, that's what Superman's supposed to do.
Yeah. Yes,
and I'm good with that. Yeah. I'm cool with all that. Put that in. But you're right. It was like funereal.
Yeah,
it was all, and then they end the fucking movie with a funeral.
Yep.
Did we just beat us up for 2.5 hours? Another major malfunction. I know there was a score by Hans Zimmer, and the score is all portentious, broody shit. And that's also, by the way, will make you sick to your stomach after 2 hours of that. What kind? You're like, we're gonna make the great popcorn movie, Batman versus Superman. We have these two iconic, famous characters. Everybody, even if you don't like comic books, knows who these two characters are. Where was the fucking score from each of them?
Yeah,
the Danny Elfman theme and the John Williams theme.
Yeah, you could have had those.
When they show up, you could have had like Superman flies in, dun, 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 and then Batman comes in with the Batmobile with the Danny Elfman thing.
Yeah.
Would have been perfect. They couldn't even get that shit right.
Yeah, again, they're reinventing everything and they're trying
and
to.
And they did
make
nothing
it,
right with it.
Well, I think the tone is wrong. I would be fine if Affleck took these over.
There's,
I would be fine if Chris Nolan took it back over again. He was, you know, credited as an executive producer. So
Zack Snyder's
something
hack.
To do with it.
I'll tell you this, armchair psychology. Something happened mentally, psychologically to Zack Snyder during 9/11.
Okay.
Because Man of Steel has these 9/11 moments. He re-shows it all to you again in Batman versus Superman. When we were filming, and I've told people this, when we were filming at the death scene of Superman at his funeral, he hovered above us in that little chair that goes above you with the cameras.
Yeah.
And he told us, he said, you have to look sad. You have to make your faces sadder than they were on 9/11.
No.
Something happened to Zack Snyder on 9/11 that changed him psychologically to be this kind of dark, morose, shit crap.
But
he's like a 14-year-old that's writing on the walls. He's like that kid that had a drinking problem when they were in middle school. Like, well, he just seems like that. He seems like a teenager.
He is associating 9/11 with all of the harm and all of the bad things that have been done in the world, whereas they're not related to 9/11. But in his mind, I think 9/11 is everything now. Everything is because of 9/11. All of the bad things in the world have come from that.
I know it's simplistic, and Joel has never been into the genre, but the whole fucking point of comic books, with the exception of a couple characters like Punisher, is that the superheroes are the guys that do the right thing when the shit's fucked up.
The reason
and Superman in this movie doesn't seem to really care or want to help, and is kind of indifferent.
The reason
he's always saving Lois Lane.
The reason that
because that's his piece of ass.
The reason that Superman is because he is the Superman. He is the best of what we could be, which means that he makes the best decisions.
Okay.
Instinctively, he knows what is right,
or he tries to do what's right.
I think that part of Superman's psychology is he knows what's right. That he's the best part of us. We know our intuition tells us what to do, and when we know to do the right thing.
But don't you feel that? Don't
and his
you,
is right.
Don't you feel that in a way that America is Superman in this movie, meaning that as America, which used to be known as, you know, the policeman of the world and always righteous and always doing the right thing, is now questioned from all sides, both foreign and domestic, from not doing the right thing.
But if you do the right thing,
the movie should give us.
That's what the allegory is.
But if you do the right thing over and over again, people are fine with you.
You know, people always say that that Star Wars came at the end of the Vietnam era.
Yes.
And the country was depressed, and we'd gone through Watergate and Vietnam, and there was no confidence in government. And Star Wars was kind of like, it's all fun. It's all going to be good.
Yeah, well,
and then that gave America confidence again.
Well,
why would you double down in this 9/11 bullshit when
you got a movie about
a guy who can do anything?
His name is Superman.
Yeah.
His name is Batman. These are comic book characters.
It's so fucking awful. Oh my God!
All right, let's wrap this up. Okay, look.
Did I mention this? The film is a fucking disaster. And then,
let's give numerical grades. We'll start with 10.
And then Kevin Costner's
on a scale of what?
Well, we have the Corey and Joel 5-finger scale. You can do 1 to 10. Give us something
on a scale of 1 to 10.
Five stars. What do you?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I would give this 2.
A A 2 out of 10. Corey?
I will say two nice things about the movie.
Yes.
Jeremy Irons was a good Alfred.
Okay, yeah.
I'm with you. And I would have actually liked...
I actually like Ben Affleck as Batman.
Ben Affleck and Jeremy Irons were okay as Batman and Alfred, and I would have been fine with more of them.
Okay.
Amy Adams is in a bathtub at one point,
and that's never
That's
bad. Worth a point.
Right? So I will give this a finger and a half.
Okay, so you're saying 1.5 out of 5.
1.5 out
of five. So basically 3 out of 10. I would give this a 5 out of 10. I would give this, 2.5 fingers on the 5 fingers scale.
Okay.
Because to me, it's a big, dumb action movie, and that's what people want. And I thought that the movie gave you that.
Did you?
I know. We just had a conversation.
Oh, it's okay. Here's another spoiler that I didn't even realize till after the movie.
What's that?
Okay, so you know, remember the part where Amy Adams is in Africa somewhere? Some made-up African
country? Yeah. Okay, yeah.
She's being held by a warlord.
And Superman rescues her. Yeah.
And one of the guys she's with gets shot in the head.
Yes.
Okay.
That's supposed to be Jimmy Olsen.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
They didn't tell you.
That is supposed to be Jimmy Olsen.
They didn't tell you it was Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah, they didn't.
They never mentioned Jimmy Olsen.
Jimmy Olsen was in Man of Steel or no?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
So what they did is they brutally killed off one of the founding characters of Superman's mythology for no point. You didn't even, and it had
If they would have told you that was Jimmy Olsen,
you didn't know it
you
was
might have cared.
Him.
Yeah, I didn't know that until just
or,
now.
But they just did a stupid thing and killed Jimmy Olsen, which Superman has been saving Jimmy Olsen's dumb, freckled ass for 70 years, but he's 1.5 minutes too late to save him in this one.
Holy well, shit. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we're going to wrap up.
Did I say
radio.
That movie's a fucking disaster?
John, having worked on it, not a fan.
Not a fan.
Super Force was better than this.
I really have kind of held back just because I really do hate this movie. I do.
That's fine. That's
I really
fine.
Do. You're I really
fine.
Hate
okay,
this movie.
You know, now, I
my 5 out of 10 is not a positive review.
That's true. Well, because we say we don't have the faith anymore, and we're not going to love something just because it's Superman. But I would be real happy if they made a good Batman and Superman movie. I would be pleased with that. And this did not fulfill my comic book side.
Strangely enough.
Or a film basic blockbuster film construction. Right?
I get in fights with people about this all the time. I think that the best Superman movie in recent history is Superman Returns. People fight me on it all the time.
I think it's a better movie than this.
I'll tell you what.
That had something better in it. In that it had Kevin Spacey as Luthor.
I would, which was way better. If I had to watch Batman vs Superman or Batman Returns again, I'm watching Superman Returns.
Well, I skipped Man of Steel because I hated Superman Returns, and I know it was a reboot, but people said Man of Steel was so bad. But is Man of Steel worse than Batman v Superman?
Man of Steel, at a certain point during the Zod fight, there was a literal point where I had to go and stand outside and wait for the sounds to stop.
Because it was so crummy.
Because it was just destroying me.
Okay.
I will say Man of Steel at least like gave you, they set the characters up a little bit. Like you knew who Lois Lane was. You know, this is just all... Okay, another plot spoiler before, because I don't have to ever talk about this.
We really got to go. We're 2 hours.
All right, okay. There's a spear. There's a kryptonite spear.
The spear.
Okay? Yes. We're making some jokes during the theater. Right.
So Luthor gets a rock of kryptonite.
Yes.
When did Batman get kryptonite?
When he stole it back.
He steals it in the movie.
Okay, I get confused about
He steals it in the movie.
Because there's no fucking establishing
No,
shots
you're right.
In this movie.
John Teddy's right. They don't actually show him stealing it. They show him looking at it, and then they cut back, and there's like a bat symbol.
There's a bat.
There's a batarang where the rock
was
at. You have to do it, and you don't actually see it being stolen, but it happens off screen, and you know that,
Now, in the comics, they could have done this scene. In the comics, Superman says... comes to Batman and gives him a one kryptonite bullet or something and says, I trust only if I do lose it,
I trust you.
Yeah. Okay, now wait a second.
And they didn't do that shit.
Quickly.
Yes.
Quickly.
But that fucking spear, she throws the spear in the water.
What's the name of the person that Bruce Wayne is looking for in the beginning of the film? Remember, he's trying to track down the white Moroccan or whatever it's called. Remember what I'm talking about here?
It's the white Dutchman or something.
The white Moroccan or somebody like that.
And it's a ship. Yeah.
It's a ship. The best detective in the world is trying to track down who or what is this white Moroccan or white whatever. Right?
Yeah.
It's in 3-foot letters on the side of a fucking freight ship.
When he sees it, he figures it out.
He's got to steal Luthor's database of information, which also contains information on the superheroes for which Luthor has given them all symbols.
All right.
to find out that there is a ship that ships stuff called the name that of the thing that he's looking for.
Well, now, the ultimate spoiler, if we haven't spoiled everything already, the spear again. After Lois throws the spear in the water,
yeah, right.
Then they spend 10 minutes going back and digging the spear out,
yes.
And Lois dives down and can't get it, and then he has to go down. The guy who, the kryptonite makes him weak, so he dives in the water to get the spear. Then he picks the spear up, and apparently the kryptonite doesn't cancel his powers out, so he can fly.
And apparently in a city that is being blown up by Doomsday, he hears Lois pounding on a chunk of concrete from underwater.
Right, yes. And then, okay, so Wonder Woman is fighting Doomsday,
yes.
And Batman is throwing missiles at, or throwing grenades at him and running around. And then Superman goes, "Let me kill this big monster with this kryptonite spear because it'll kill him." Instead of handing it to Wonder Woman to kill the monster with, he flies into it so he can die.
Yes.
What the fuck kind of stupid shit is that?
I'm going to wrap this up. Good night.
Did I mention this movie is a fucking disaster?
All right, good night, everybody. Thank you for listening to Joel Radio.
John, where can we find your fine material?
You can go to weirdlectures.com. You can go to realloss.com. You can search John E.L. Tenney. And I'm not the guy who was married to Terry Hatcher. That's a distant third.
No, she was in a better Superman.
She was in a better Superman.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to Joel Radio. We'll have, what's that?
You can see me April 1st. Ooh. At the UFO Factory in Corktown.
Yeah. Hey!
And April 9th, I will be at O'Mara's with J. Chris Newberg. So come out.
Yeah, go see Corey there. And my advanced comedy class is starting this weekend, April 2nd, Saturday, April 2nd.
How long do you have to take that, Joel, before you're a comedian?
Well, if you're already... All right, enough of that. but if you want more information on that, it's on Facebook. You can also get a hold of me. You can email me at joelthecomic@gmail.com. Let's get out of here. Thanks again, John.
Joel, thank you. I enjoy your new hipster haircut.
Thank you. I have a new haircut.
It looks good.
I have a haircut. Of course, I'm the only one in this room with hair, so it's the fact that I actually have a haircut.
Yeah, I enjoy
surprising.
It.
Yes, thank you. But let's get out of here. Joel Radio's out. And we'll catch you next time.
Did I mention that movie's a fucking disaster?
The movie is a disaster. But, yeah, we'll have all the... send us your Cannonball Run ideas, too. Do that on Facebook. Who's your team?
I swear to God, Hollywood, if you let Zack Snyder direct the Cannonball
Run... No, don't let him.
I will come for you. I will find you.
What about Ethan Coen directing Wonder Woman? Is that possible?
He would do a better job.
Yeah, they're already making
Dennis
Wonder
Duggan.
Yes.
The, who's the Adam Sandler.
What about Mike
director?
Duggan?
Yeah. Mike Duggan would be a better...
What about Hacksaw Jim Duggan in the Cannonball Run?
Oh!
Hey, Duggan!
Greg the Hammer Valentine in Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Well, Iron Sheik in Hacksaw.
I'm in.
There you go.
Much
That's
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan.
And Madonna.
There you
are
go.
Are in a car together.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.